following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com. Tonight's episode of the Shining Wizards podcast is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. 9 great shows, 1 great place, including Pro Wrestling 101 with 20-year veteran Justin Credible, 2.5 wrestlers featuring Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and Jay Silva, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks from Staten Island, the impact play of Mr. Phil Rea and Dave Megapowers taking it from the current to the way back, the Midnight Jory, Mike Norenganger and Adam Henning from Philadelphia, giving you wrestling, pop culture, and horror movies from the 80s and 90s. The Fallen Angels triplets, Dante, Kanzer, and Krim Gideon, giving you the ins and outs of their experiences on the pro wrestling independent scene. The Neckbreaker Podcast, Brian and John from Boston, giving you pro wrestling and heavy metal news. And to top it off, from north of the border, Apex Radio with our friend the Stickman, and the Forearms and Funk Radio Spectacular with the Wolfman Jack Foley. That's the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com, where it's entertainment here.
Have you ever been that lonely guy standing in the corner of a bar, lacking the confidence to approach a beautiful woman or even defend yourself if needed? Well, this is the book for you. Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, filled with tips, techniques, and stories aimed to help you become the barroom stud that you've always wanted to be. Pick up your copy of Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, online or at a bookstore near you.
Pre-order Bar Jitsu, the American Art of Bar Fighting, now on Amazon through barjutsu.com. That's barjutsu.com. Also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
This is Brian Kendrick, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed the holiday season, and the Wizards are back.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
Welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And it's my birthday.
Oh my God, I don't even have one ready. I'm blanking.
We didn't do it.
All right, Eddie, you know what? It's your birthday. You start.
I could start?
Yes, go for it.
Okay. This can go in any direction you guys want to take it.
That's how it usually goes.
But I would like to go in the NWA direction. All right, stay with me. I am Kevin Sullivan.
I'm the Fallen Angel.
Can I be woman?
That was me, stupid.
Oh, damn it.
That ruined it already.
All right, let's start again.
I got one.
No. Let's not do that faction. Let's do a different faction.
I'm Doink Mabel.
No, listen. We'll do a different faction.
Abu. I knew that one.
All right. I'm Kevin Sullivan.
I'm the Shark.
I am the Zodiac.
And I will be the Loch Ness.
Yes.
All right.
I was hoping to get the Varsity Club out there, but... No one was biting.
Damn.
Well, you didn't say the Varsity Club.
I said
you
Shark, said, and you said no
NWA.
One's biting.
That could have been anybody.
NWA with Kevin Sullivan. That was the only faction he had in NWA.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you changed it when you
I
went back
to Kevin
Sullivan.
I thought you were just saying NWA wrestlers.
Oh, no.
Like, it could have been anybody.
Oh, no. I should have said faction. Well, we always do factions.
That's true. But you didn't say a faction.
Affection?
You need more affection, don't you?
I do.
It's very inclement weather.
Colder than a witch's tit.
What does that mean?
Witch's tits are cold.
Yeah. Why?
Because they're green.
Their icy hearts. Cool down their mammaries.
Fucking
Wizard of
Cause,
Oz.
Because they're green.
Because they're green. And they breastfeed
the Wizard
milkshakes.
Of Oz witch is the only witch I know.
They give milkshakes?
You know, the Wizard of Odd Witch was on...
Wizard of Odd Witch?
Who's the Wizard of Oz?
The Wizard of Oz which was on Mr. Rogers when I was little and scared the shit out of me.
Was she?
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not really a mean person. And I was like, you fucking look scary.
This is the best wrestling talk ever.
Ever.
And talk about wrestling.
True.
Ever. All right, so
tonight on the podcast,
yeah, let's do things.
We have Roderick Strong.
He's so strong.
And he's handsome. He'll be participating in Evolve all weekend on WWNLive.com.
HD.
Man.
Right? Yeah, that's right. It's going to be HD, right?
Something yeah, like high def. That's, you know what's
you
fucking
can
weird?
See the sweat glistening off their backs.
So the WWN Live does wonderful iPay-per-view. Why wouldn't like a company, Ring of Honor, jump on that?
Tonto, jump on it. Jump on it. Jump on it.
Ooh, rest in
that
peace.
Makes me think of
Uncle
Carlton,
Phil.
And that makes me think of Uncle Phil.
Rest in peace, Uncle Phil.
Rest in peace.
Should I pass him out to my homie?
Oh, God.
Hey, did you see Overweight Dennis was on this show with me 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
So we're just not going to answer Matt's question?
What was your question?
No, it's just weird.
Oh, why
that,
doesn't they?
Why wouldn't they jump on board?
Why doesn't they?
This is a train wreck already.
I've been drinking.
Yeah. Kimosabi, jump on it.
That's a very good question. Maybe you should ask them.
Way to do an interview before we actually start the show and we drink 100 Twisted Teas.
Twisted.
That's a very good question, though. I don't know. It seems like it's something that they haven't perfected yet anywhere.
I agree. I don't know enough about it.
Because I get all the Dragon Gate and Evolve stuff on WWN Live.
And that's all fine, always?
Never a problem.
Got to be different companies.
Never. It is a different company.
So
but
maybe those companies are contracted exclusively for Dragon Gate and Evolve.
But no, because they run Full Impact Pro. They run Shimmer. Why wouldn't Ring of Honor reach out to them? I mean, if anything, it's bringing more business to WWNLive.com.
Hmm.
Well, you've been watching quite a few of the pay-per-views on the internet lately, haven't you?
You sure
have. I have. I also attended a show with Edguardo.
Yes, sir.
Who's that?
Edguardo?
Hello. My name is Edguardo.
Alf? What?
Who?
Who?
Is what? It safe?
Ha!
Before
Yes.
Let's see. Where's our timeline? Fuck. It's been such a long time since we've been here.
I've been here ever since.
You haven't left the basement.
Studio, Eddie.
This is a studio. We hope you all enjoyed our fine production of Legends of the Ring finally last week.
Oof. It was long. 3 hours?
Yeah, it was. And I cut out a lot of dead air, too. So.
God.
If you made it through that, congratulations.
Oh, it was fun. It was a good show.
I meant for you and me and
to listen,
Phil.
To.
It was a long day.
That's all right. We had quite a few appearances on that show, well, including the Sandman's brother.
We're doing it again in June, so be ready.
We will be back in beautiful Monroe.
Monroe. But yeah, so we went and saw On Point Wrestling.
Well, do you want to go back Saturday. Further than that, Matt? Or do you want to start with On Point?
We can start with On Point.
I like how your microphone matches your socks, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, we've been drinking.
So me and Eddie went to On Point Wrestling in Deptford, New Jersey.
Oh, God, it was in Deptford?
Yeah, right outside of Woodbury.
When you go to the Wawa and there's an undercover cop putting his bulletproof vest on while you're getting gas.
Yeah.
And the gas station attendant tells you,
I don't carry change.
If you don't have exact change, you need to pay inside. Because Camden's right down the street, and I don't want to get robbed. You're like, okay, pump that gas a little faster, buddy. I'll pay whatever. Just get me the fuck out of here.
I hate how wrestling shows are always in the shittiest fucking neighborhoods.
Okay, I was just going to ask you.
All the time.
Did you feel safer in Deptford or Patterson?
Oh, Deptford.
Okay, Deptford or when we went to Temple for that TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
Deptford.
Really?
Oh, no. I felt safer in Deptford.
Oh, safer, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Temple, then Deptford, and at the bottom of the list, Patterson.
Oof. Oh. Dude, when I went to the wrestling show to see the Fallen Angels in Patterson, It was like an abandoned building. I turned down this creepy road. Everything's dilapidated. No one's there yet. The building was should have been condemned. The only thing that was inside of it was a ring. And off to the side, there was a side room with a bunch of Sopranos VHS tapes under black fucking bags and shit.
But VHS tapes?
Yeah, VHS tapes. I'm shocked my car was still there. Actually, I'm shocked my car is ever still outside of an event after a wrestling show.
Yeah, there were a couple times leaving the fucking ECW arena where I really thought my car wasn't going to be there.
Why do they do that? PWS in Rahway is fine.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's not a bad area.
It doesn't hurt that it's in the same parking lot as the police station.
That's the thing. Because it's in the same parking lot. But any other show I go to, that and maybe ECPW Lake Hiawatha.
Yeah, Lake Hiawatha.
Anything that sounds like really white, like Bootin'.
Bootin'. I was just going to say Bootin'. Good.
Yeah, Bootin'.
Wrestling is respect. The worst thing I was thinking would happen with a parking ticket.
Basically. But yeah, why is wrestling always booked in the shittiest neighborhoods?
I guess we found our topic for the night.
It's got to be cheap. It has to be.
Yeah, it'd have to be. I think that's it. I'm sorry. On Point Wrestling.
Me and Eddie took the trip, about 2-hour drive.
And I heard you saw some old familiar faces.
Yeah, we saw Roy Rogers.
We saw fucking Pinky Sanchez. He tried to sell me and Eddie a bunch of shit.
And we were like, hey, man.
So I walked over to the table. I'm like, what's up, bud? He's like, what's up? You want to buy something? I'm like, no. I'm like, you were in my fucking apartment. And he's like, oh, you brought me pizza. And I'm like, thank you.
It all comes back. Yeah, he was there. We sat with David Adams, the voice of PWS.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Let me tell you something funny.
I love David Adams.
Hey. So do I. He was great to be next to.
He smelled so good.
He smelled like Stetson.
He would occasionally, it was like Randy wrestling in the backyard, he would start to commentate. He'd practice.
He commentated the matches next to us.
So you'd be watching, like, and then all of a sudden, he'd be like, he hits a Hurricane Rana, and then he's up on, and I'm like,
That just shows he loves what he does.
And I can't fault him. It's a fucking wonderful...
It's like when we used to play with our action figures and we had that voice where you didn't want to be loud, but you wanted to scream. You're like, it was just like this. Oh my God, he got him up for the chokeslam. Oh, he goes down with the chokeslam. Oh my God.
But that's what he does. He doesn't only ring announce. He does the commentary.
I don't know how he does that.
Back and forth like
back
that?
Back and forth.
Well, he's got...
I don't know if he does it for all... Did he do it for On Point?
No. He just sat with us for On Point. He commentated just for Matt and I. On Point and himself.
It was fantastic.
It was great. So we saw him.
He also has Sam Roberts when he does PWS.
Not always.
So, yeah, but when
sometimes
he does,
he's by himself.
Well,
I do.
He wrestled.
Did he really?
David Adams?
Yeah, David Adams wrestled with his sanity. No, Joey Janela wrestled Johnny Mangue.
You mean losing himself?
Chaka. Whatever.
Before we get into On Point, I do want to shout out. A couple fans that were there who...
You mean the couple fans that were there?
Look, it wasn't a big... It may be 70 people. That's being generous.
That's a pretty good turnout.
Maybe.
Come on.
It was a good... Look.
It was a good show.
It was a great show. But it was funny. Show. We get there. We sit on the bleachers by David. Eddie goes to the bathroom, and I'm sitting there hanging out, and the guy next to me is like, yo.
Hey, yo.
I hear the Shining Wizards are going to be here.
All right, now I have to ask you, were you wearing your Wizard shirt?
I had my Be a Mark shirt on. Eddie had his Shining Wizard shirt on. But the gym was so cold, we didn't take our jackets off.
Oh, it was fucking freezing.
Now, do you think they recognized you and were doing that, like, over their shoulders?
No, because he was sitting to my left, and he goes, yo, I hear the Shining Wizards are going to be here, but I don't know what they look like.
Ooh.
So I turned around. And I was like, hey, I'm Matt from the Shining Wizards.
No, you should have been like, yeah, I can't wait to meet those guys. I hear Matt's really sexy in person. No,
dude, I got to give him a shout out. Rob and Mike.
Thank you, Rob and Mike.
His group of friends.
Yes.
Were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they weren't like corny, funny wrestling fans. Like, they were just funny.
The dude Rob must have told the people in front of us, like a 60-year-old man there with his special child to shut the fuck up at least twice.
Yeah.
That's great.
So yeah. We're applauding that? What, the 60-year-old man was talking or the special child?
Look, there was a match between...
Love the special child.
There was a match between...
He was like the little mascot.
Can I tell you about my Christmas dinner real quick, talking about special children?
What? No.
Oh, well, okay, yes.
We're sitting at the restaurant, and I'm hearing over my shoulder like...
Oh, my God.
I said, what is it? I thought one of the kids at the table was, like, making noises under their breath. No, my wife says there was a special person at the table behind us just drooling into their plate.
Oh, God.
Roderick Strong's on the show tonight.
At Roderick Strong on Twitter. WWNLive.com. Evolve triple shot this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of triple shots, Kevin, get us another round.
What are we talking about?
Good morning. On Point Wrestling, Jocka.
So, On Point Wrestling,
yeah.
10 matches.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's a stacked card.
And let me tell you, top to bottom, every match had a little something different. They were all good. It was paced well. It was like a 3.5-hour show. We weren't bored for a second.
That's impressive.
Yeah, we weren't bored at all. It was booked really well. The order of matches was good. No skits, no bullshit in the ring promos, nothing, no angles. Just straight out like match, nice. Goodbye. Yeah. And it was good. The only thing that struck me as strange is the ring was about, you see that second step there where you guys are sitting maybe like
high off the ground?
It was like a foot and a half off the ground.
It's like, do you ever remember watching WCW Saturday Night? In the sound stage, and
yeah.
How low,
yes.
or WCW Pro,
yeah,
it was like Sunday at 5 o'clock
on the fucking
the ring,
spinny
you could like,
stage,
yeah, and you could just like literally just step on it,
right,
like,
right.
It was like kind of like
it was
that,
very low,
bit.
You know,
and there was no apron. It was just strange and kind of small.
Glow had a very low ring when they first started.
Well, that's
it was
for
only
girls.
About a foot
that's
or two.
For girls, well, girls, you know,
they also had like a 2 foot apron, which I'm sure helped.
It's for girls.
Wow.
It's for girls. They need, right. They need it a little easier than
anybody
the
else that we know that was on that show?
Janela, Jocka,
Kingston,
Dickinson,
Kingston.
Beaver Boys.
The Beaver Boys.
Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
Oh, nice.
John Silver, Pat Buck's old partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, great show. We talked to Robbie Moreno, who's part of Blackout now and Extreme Rising. We talked to him outside. For a good 10 minutes, he used the curb stomp as his finisher.
Ugh.
Or as I like to call it, the Ed Norton.
But overall, a great fucking show. I highly recommend going to it.
Yeah, check him out. It's
going to
it's
it.
Fun.
What? How long ago was it?
What?
I said going to it.
No,
it
going
happened.
To see them.
Oh, no, I got
in
it.
The future.
I'm just being a dick.
Or
you could take the DeLorean.
March 15th?
Yeah, we'll say
is
that.
Is the next show?
Sure.
Speaking of DeLoreans, Wrestle Kingdom 8, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes. How you stood up for that, I don't know.
I ate shit hard, dude. When I ordered that, Ustream said 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. I was like, yeah, there's some leeway. Maybe it's like 3 a.m. to 7. No, it was fucking 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. It was rough.
Sick.
I got through the first match, and then Ustream kicked me off because I was pirating from Matt's account.
You know that's our Shining Wizards account. Well, you should try to make sure that doesn't disappear.
It didn't disappear. I didn't. I just went to Ustream and ordered it, and then it was like, oh, you're locked. I went to log in on my PS3 because I was like, I'll watch it on TV. It was like, you need to log in. I'm like, log into what? I go on the computer, Wizards Podcast. I'm like, motherfucker.
And you hate watching stuff on the computer. Did you have to watch
it
on the computer?
Yeah, I couldn't get it on.
Oh, you had to sit in squeaky chair for 5 hours?
Yeah,
I would have been miserable, too.
It wasn't bad, because I had a Red Bull at 3:30 a.m.
And it was featuring the Gracies.
Oh, don't.
What a pile of dog shit.
I'm going to run you down Wrestle Kingdom. First of all, best entrances ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, they were cool.
Who's the dude that came out to the guitarist from Megadeth?
Rainmaker.
That's
I believe.
Van
this is nickname.
Hammer.
If I try and read
Man
these
Mountain
names,
Rock.
What? Shinsuke Nakamura?
That's
Samasaki. Van Hammer's Japanese name.
Are any of these guys related to Deadly Fred?
And Lama Nama?
Lama Nama
Numi. Lama Nama Numi.
Alone, the entrances blow every other company out of the water. The Time Splitters, Alex Shelley, and Kushida.
That was awesome. That's the match I caught.
They came out in a DeLorean?
Yeah,
and they were
cool.
Wearing Marty McFly vests.
Awesome.
That's fucking sick.
Back to the Future.
What kind of crowd did they have?
Asian, mostly 35,000. Japanese men, very women, expressionless and quiet,
like politely clapping and shit.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, it was actually hard to tell where, like, what the crowd was like, because it was very dark.
They do a good job at not
hiding
black Asians.
Black Asians.
Yeah, it's just teeth, not even eyes. They can't open them.
Wow.
There you go. But, I mean, 5 hours, great action.
Oh, you did not just say that.
Oh, see.
See. No, it's Ike. Ike.
Is it Ike?
Ike.
Ike.
Ike. Ike. Ike. Justin Ike.
Ike.
Oh, brother.
All right. So, Wrestle Kingdom.
Top to bottom.
Ike.
They open the show.
Hadouken. Hadouken.
With an awesome four-team tag match, the Young Bucks, the champs, come out on top. And as you progress through the show, there's so many American wrestlers that had the shot at WWE and TNA. Harry Smith, Luke Gallows.
Harry Smith, who's just getting better and better.
Lance Archer, who was Lance Hoyt.
Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin. Yep. Even Taka Michinoku.
How's he looking?
I was kind of surprised.
Awesome.
He was on that
good.
Show.
He was in the first match, right? That four-way match, right?
Yeah.
He's still in shape and looks
pretty
much the same. That's cool. I liked him. Remember when he got eliminated from that Royal Rumble?
His face showed it
30 times. Oh, that was the best.
Yeah, Jerry the King Lawler couldn't stop laughing at his misfortune, but we'll get into Jerry's misfortunes later.
Well, the only way we can get into Jerry's misfortune is if you download the WWE app.
Or you go to Sonic and relive a heart attack like that piece of shit.
I'm thinking he's switching to Carl's Jr. at this point.
Lots of title changes on the card.
Every match was a title match. I read the results. It seemed like every match there was a belt on the line.
For the most part.
Did Itchy Coxsackie win?
Yes.
He beat Itchy Ball Nutty.
Did he beat Bang Ting Ow?
No.
Wee Too Low?
He lost to Hong Kong Phooey.
He lost to Stinky Taint Wee Wee.
But listen, dicks.
He beat him too. Listen, dicks. And his opponent, listen, dicks.
And he's evil, so dicks is all caps.
Couple things to note.
And he's Asian.
The IWGP Tag Team Championship. You know what? Before I get into this, I watched the pre-show. Okay. Some fucking Asian reporter who spoke broken
Trisha
English.
Takanawa?
I was just going to say that.
They played.
It's cold.
They played like fucking Mr. Potato Head with the tag team.
Mysterio?
Yeah. Mr. Potato Head. So this lady had like this blank face.
Well, Asian?
And then they blindfolded one half of the tag team. So
Why would they have to blindfold them? Did they use
dental
floss?
Because they were gaijins. Oh, look at that. So they blindfolded Lance Archer, and then Davey Boy Smith Jr. had to tell him where to put like the eyes in the shit.
But he probably couldn't even understand him because of his thick ass accent. Go over there.
Go ref.
No.
Go ref.
Rut row.
Ref and right.
Rump and down.
Oh, boy. Couple notes from Wrestle Kingdom 8.
Wrestle Kingdom sounds like the best pay-per-view ever.
It was awesome.
I swear to God. I wish I saw it.
You never know where to turn because it's R and R, reft and right.
This is for you guys, at Marking Out. You were looking forward to this review.
Why, was Kofi Kingston pushed to the moon?
Rut-row. A couple things to note.
Oh!
A boo. Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer, they lost the IW.
Vance Archer. Lance Hoyt. Vance Archer.
Lance.
What?
Not Vance.
Yeah, his name in WWE was Vance Archer.
And now it's Lance Archer.
I hate you.
What?
Hate's a strong word.
And that is all.
They lost the IWGP tag team titles to the Bullet Club, consisting of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Kick him in the balls!
The NWA World title was defended in Japan for the first time in 20 years.
The NWA World title does not count anymore.
Yes, you would think that, but guess what? Japan does history. And you know who was there? Harley Race.
Harley Race.
Really?
Was supporting. That I read, they actually document which champion this was. It was like the 85th champion or something like that. Like they actually keep track of the numbers.
Tony, weren't you NWA champion once?
Yes.
I think you were.
I defeated Gino Caruso.
Yeah, look, I think he was NWA champion, too.
Going back to that, we were talking about this on the way here, the Archer, Smith against Anderson and Gallows. Dude, two tag teams that just work. Like, WWE's kind of getting it right now, but, dude, when you just see two tag teams that, like, you're like, whoa, that's what tag teams are supposed to be like, it boggles your mind how some promotions just don't get it right. And I thought that Archer and Smith never thought they'd ever be a tag team. They work, and they're awesome.
Even Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
You know, Kevin, that happens a lot in Japan. They'll put two guys from here that were in different organizations together in Japan,
yeah,
and it just works.
Albert and Tomko were big over there.
Yeah, it works often.
Even Albert and Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
They were IWGP champs forever.
It works out.
Hey, yeah, how's Tensai doing these days?
Ugh. I can't
He's
wait to
still
see what's going to happen with him.
Beating Brodus Clay.
So, Botus.
Beating Botus.
Conway lost.
Beat my Botus.
Conway lost the NWA championship to.
Conway still jacked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Satoshi Kojima. Mm. He hit him with a lariat. And I also think his Twitter handle is Cozy Lariat. And I don't know how a lariat's cozy.
Well, it depends.
You
on
feel nice and
it.
Cuddled.
Yeah, it's snug. Maybe because cozy and snuggle. Snug is a term for stiff in the wrestling vernacular.
Maybe.
Stiff lariat.
He's throwing stiff lariat.
Ah, I decoded your shit.
So they open with the 14 IWGP Junior Tag Championship. They go to the IWGP Tag Championship. They go to this NWA Championship match. And then...
The Gracies?
The Gracies against Sakuraba. Oh.
Sakuraba!
Yuji Nagata.
Oh, Yuji
wow.
Nagata. Holy
I
shit.
I would have rather taken a Q-tip and stuck it in my penis hole. Here's the thing. We're
was
not
it like
stupid.
Ali when he boxed, wrestled?
Anoki?
It was worse.
Anoki was worse.
Here's the thing. We know wrestling is scripted. It's I don't want to say fake, but...
It's not fake.
It's not fake, but you get hurt and everything.
Get butt hurt.
Yeah.
Mixed martial arts, you can't. You're breaking your leg,
yeah,
a la Anderson Silva. You're breaking it. You can't sell it any better. When you try and make.
You put your left foot in and you shake it all about.
When you try and do a fixed MMA
fight.
You do
fight, the hokey brokey. And you're limping all around.
That's wow, you guys are so
it's
clever.
All about.
When you try and do a mixed MMA fight, it just comes off as absolute dog shit.
Is that what it was? It was supposed to be a work
you know,
shoot?
It was
fight.
So stupid. Fucking atrocious.
Why would
atrocious.
You do that? Well,
it brought
promotion, right?
I don't know. It brought the
stupid.
Hulk, like the
it
flow.
The crowd.
The flow was great because what would happen? The match would end and the guys wouldn't leave where they entered. They'd go, like, off to the right.
They'd go to Ribera's Steakhouse.
And as soon as they were out of the ring, the next match started. There was no bullshit, nothing. It was boom, 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 boom.
And then this.
And then this. And
that's
it was,
the Rocho break.
It was bad. They got the Gracies got disqualified for using their gi to choke one of the nips.
The Gracies should have hopped in the fucking
Jesus.
The Gracies should have hopped into the DeLorean and traveled back to 98 when they were relevant and stayed there.
Really? It wasn't Daniel Gracie and Rollies Gracie? Rollers? I don't even fucking
you know. What,
know.
It's getting to the point, like, you ever see that Michael Keaton movie when he was cloned?
And,
like,
Multiplicity.
Each clone was, like, worse and worse. Like, the Gracies now are, like, the dolphin clone for Multiplicity. Like, I want to eat a dolphin, Steve.
Graduates of the Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu School include...
All get the last name Gracie.
Include CM Punk and Ed O'Neill.
And Chris Gethard.
Well, there
wow.
you go.
How do you like them fucking apples?
And there I'd rather go. See any of those three guys wrestle in Japan than a real Gracie.
I would love to see Chris Gethard wrestle in Japan.
I'd love to see Chris Gethard wrestle Ed O'Neill.
Well, if you want to see Chris Gethard wrestle me in a basement in 1997, I have a tape.
I wouldn't be proud of that.
So
I'm proud.
There's that abortion. They follow that up with Muda in a tag match against Benjamin Shelton.
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Well, that's his Japanese name.
That's how he filled it out in the SATs. Last name first.
He's gone done good on these.
He took the SATs?
Yeah.
Ain't no stopping me.
No! Muda looks great.
He's like 100, isn't he?
He looked fucking great. He hit the Shining Wizard.
Shining Wizard!
Shining Wizard! He hit the mist twice. His team got the win.
Twice.
Then there was an intermission.
Jesus, twice.
There was an intermission with all these Japanese wrestlers playing fucking Pokemon. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Did the ghost of Michiharu Misawa sing Merry Christmas?
No, but Hayabusa ran across the screen.
Tony Dundas, Merry Christmas.
That was the best. Why didn't we play that this year?
Because nobody was here for Christmas this year.
Oh, that's
year.
Right. Christmas was canceled.
It was me and the donger.
No, that was good. That was a good episode, though.
You didn't like? Did you like the kids' music opening and closing the show?
Yeah, the whole episode was just great. Continue.
They come back. Goto against Shibata was just...
I like my sandwich on Shibata bread.
It's hard to explain this.
No.
Because I don't know who these guys are.
Neither do our listeners. Let's talk about Raw.
I'll tell you what. We got a lot of followers on Twitter that night.
Did we?
Things that are important. Prince Devitt lost the IWGP Junior title to Kota Ibushi. Would have been a much better match if the Bullet Club wasn't involved. Bullet Club, Gallows, Machine Gun Anderson, the Young Bucks.
Cheaters.
Tomatanga.
Haku.
IWGP Heavyweight title, Okada.
Kuta Kinte.
Was success. Wow. Yikes. Haku. Wrong race.
Hakuta Matata.
Haku was there.
God bless you.
The heavyweight title was the co-main event because they did like a online vote. So The fans voted for the Intercontinental IWGP to main event. And Tanahashi, he took the title from Nakamura.
Did he knock Nakamura out?
He did. And that's where there was that fucking awesome Marty Friedman guitar solo entrance.
That's cool. Another thing, I just want to drop this note. They have great belts.
Great belts, great
their
entrances.
Belts look awesome. Their entrances look awesome. Their production, I love the way it's lit. It's not overproduced like Raw, and it doesn't look like a game show like TNA. It's just lit perfectly.
And you don't need to understand the language. Me being, as they say, a gaijin.
It's wrestling, though. You don't need to understand.
Just watching anything. The promos leading up to the big matches, you put it all together.
Right.
You could figure out the feud. There's no, like, fucking Undertaker's putting Stephanie McMahon on a cross.
You just put Max Zaleski out of business.
Wrestling with captions or whatever it is?
Wrestling with subtitles.
Because you don't need them. Just watch. You get it.
I liked the production they had.
What if they got two deaf guys together to call a wrestling show, and they just put the headphones on them and just had them go at it?
What would they call it?
I don't just have them call the wrestling show.
Wrestling with...
It would just be like, I would be so entertained listening to them call a show.
Who honestly has better production? New Japan or AAA in Mexico? Have you ever seen their entrance ramp?
Oh my God,
It's putrid, but they have like 8 or 10 like Mexican broads dancing around them when they come out.
Yeah.
Even Super Porky looks like a god making his entrance with them.
But seriously, New Japan, right? That's what we're talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
Still?
IWGP's and IWGP, whatever.
Yeah, it's New Japan.
It's like they're like WrestleMania or something.
Yeah.
So it's like combined.
I don't know. Their production is just awesome.
Sick.
Like it rivals WrestleMania big time. Just looks more like an event.
Yeah.
Like a wrestling event, not like a fucking entertainment show.
And it's something different because by and large, Raw always looks the same. And TNA always looks the same. Like,
I hate the way
I loved years ago.
TNA looks.
You always knew where the show was. MSG had a look. The Meadowlands had a look.
Yes.
The Boston Gardens, Toronto's Maple Leaf Gardens, the Spectrum. Everything had a different look.
But now it's like a traveling sideshow, like a play with the same set, the same lighting rig.
And it only looks fucked up when they have to put the ramp on the right because of the setup of the arena.
Yes.
Every once in a while, a Raw, the ramp is on the right, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's how accustomed we are to, whatchamacallit, to actual, you know, the same setup week in and week out.
No, for sure.
You know what didn't have the same setup?
What?
Old School Raw.
Old School
Raw. Oh, yeah.
Old School Raw.
I did. Do we want to talk to Roderick Strong before we talk current stuff, or?
Yeah, let's give Roderick a call and see see what he's up to. Talk some Evolve. He's got a triple shot coming up.
Ooh, speaking of triple shots, Garcon.
Can't wait to get. He's a busy guy. So
he's a busy guy. So we're gonna call him.
Well, is there another pay per view we need to talk about, or is that it for now? We could take a break, right?
For now. Well, we gotta call Roderick. Obviously,
let's throw in some commercials.
Oh, all right. Let Matt talk about Extreme Rising real quick. Roderick can wait.
Okay.
Roderick. After we talked him up.
Hang tight, buddy. I know you're in the green room waiting.
Let me get the phone. Hey, Mr. Strong. It's just going to be a few more minutes, okay?
Okay.
Now, we could do this real quick.
Okay, thank
Extreme
you.
Rising, first show back at the arena. Mike Norndonger went.
Yeah, and Adam and Sydney, all three of them went.
Three.
Oh, Adam went to TNA.
Oh, Adam went to TNA.
Oh, yeah, he went to TNA.
So he just went with Sydney?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been weird.
Couple highlights. There was a black Santa Claus sighting. Thomas Rodman, former guest of the show, denies knowing who that is.
Friend of the show, not only former guest.
True.
Very
he denies knowing who the black Santa Claus is.
Wait a minute.
I call shenanigans.
He's black.
Right?
Santa Claus was black.
Santa Claus really? Likes to leave presents.
Was black in Philly that night.
There you go.
Mr. Robinson likes to take
but
a few
But then
days.
Again, you were in Philly. It could have been anyone.
Deny.
But you felt safer.
I'll tell
you
something.
Deptford.
Going back to the iPay-per-view, WWNLive.com, they're doing Evolve this weekend. HighSpots.com, they ran the Extreme Rising pay-per-view. No problems whatsoever.
Good for HighSpots.
Wow. Maybe they're finally getting it.
Couple highlights of the show. Devin Storm.
My boy.
Had a fucking great match with Rhino.
Of course he did.
He picked up the victory.
Nice.
Luke Hawks is exactly what he portrays himself to be on the social media.
A dick,
which is fantastic.
Luke Hawks.
He had a sick match with Matt Hardy in the cage. He beat Matt Hardy by sticking his head between the chair, a la Steve Austin or Bret Hart with an ankle.
He Pillmaned him.
And doing a second rope leg drop on Matt Hardy while his head was wedged in the chair.
God, was he broken in half?
My God, Matt Hardy! After that match, Steve Richards...
Dancing Stevie.
Came in the ring and super kicked everybody, including Rebby Sky, which is rude.
That's fine.
His guest opponent was Steve Corino.
King of the old school.
Who came out, cut an awesome promo, ran down ECW, blamed Stevie Richards for Crash Holly's death.
I don't get the tie-in.
Either do I. I got to Google that shit.
Maybe there was just a bad night.
Maybe
out.
They played a game of Madden.
I think it was more than just Crash. From what I understand, it was more than just Crash. It was the era and why a lot of the guys are dead now.
It's Crash and Burn.
And I think he blamed Stevie Richards for that.
Was he their supplier?
I think Chris Buehler told me that.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the angle that they were running is that.
Huh. That's a weird angle that they're running
there.
It was nice to see Stevie back, though. Steve Corino, excuse me. And then the match of the night, Sabu and Facade.
Nice.
Our buddy Facade.
Was awesome.
Like
thank God.
Facade.
Sabu grew his fucking hair back. Thank God. He doesn't look like a fucking cancer patient.
Is he in shape?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked good.
He did all his fucking moves, Arabian Facebuster, through the table like twice to beat
him. Did he give anyone Arabian goggles?
He was hitting his spots? He looked good?
He looked great. It was
a
great match.
That's a shock.
It was definitely match of the night.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I know they're running in Pittsburgh February 8th.
And Shane Douglas has nothing to do with this anymore.
And then they're coming back to Philly in March.
I don't believe so, Eddie.
That's it, right?
I think he's done, yeah.
Done.
Just Google Extreme Rising. Follow them on Twitter, @ Extreme Rising. Doing a lot of good things. A lot of great talent. Check them out. Support them.
You know what? Before we call Roderick, I think we're in the midst of an indies rising type.
Oh, I think we've been
type
there.
Era, but I mean, I think it's really starting to kick in. It's not so underground anymore.
No, it's been much more out there, much more prominent.
Yeah,
people are more familiar with the names again. It's like it was in the late 80s, early 90s when they had that big
resurgence.
We
might be on the cusp.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you could tell that with it's almost like a new NWA. What's that? PWI. Not Pro Wrestling Illustrated, obviously, but PWI. There's a group. It's eight companies together
uh-huh.
that are just trying to. You guys, tell me you've heard of
oh,
this.
Oh, like wrestling is fun.
Yeah, like all those guys are all in under like an umbrella right. now. Well, they're actually going to be. If you can shed more light
what,
on it,
what the idea was, Shikara closed like a year ago, and now there's wrestling is fun, wrestling is respect,
the
wrestling,
whole wrestling
is art.
Yeah.
The thing is, National Pro Wrestling Day, the first weekend in February, that Saturday, it's a free show in Easton, Pennsylvania. I know Drew Gulak's going to be there, Michael Bennett's going to be there, Colt Cabana. The idea is they went away, they did all these shows. Wrestling is Respect runs in Booton, Wrestling is Fun runs in Rhode Island, I think, or Massachusetts, whatever. The idea is to build these fan bases in all these other areas. And then when Shikara restarts with all these guys that have been premiered in all these other wrestling groups, those fans will become new fans of Shikara. And the idea is that Shikara is going to restart at National Pro Wrestling Day.
See, I'm not even sure if that's what I was talking about. What did our friend Shane Helms, the Hurricane, just won, what was it, Most Entertaining Character of the Year? Like, they were giving out awards. And I think that's the group that I'm referring to.
Yeah, it's I forget the name of the
it's
group.
It's PWI something.
Right.
Pee-wee?
Yeah, and they're just like trying to...
Is it Mid-Atlantic?
No, it's... Hold on, I'll try to find it, but...
But the fact of the matter
the
is...
The fact
like,
of the matter is, yes, indie wrestling is...
It's starting
on fire
to,
right
it's
now.
It's on fire.
Yeah.
Indie wrestling on fire.
It's NWA on fire.
She. But I think that with that happening, we might be like maybe 5 years out from another boom. Period.
No, I think it's closer than that, dude.
You think so?
I think it is.
But sadly, like, I don't think it's going to be TNA having anything to do with it.
I agree.
No. I mean, how many people really made it big out of the last, like, boom? The one that I'm thinking of, like from the, like, the early
90s, there hasn't been a boom
know?
Since the Austin boom.
No. What I mean is like the independent boom, like not so where so many people are getting signed by the big leagues.
Right, right.
But there's just so many names on the independent circuit that people know who they are, despite the fact that they're not in one of the big promotions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we talked about with Devin Storm, like Cheetah Master, Ace Darling, you know, like all those guys, Reckless Youth.
Yeah.
You know, Quack. I mean, Quack has never really been up there, you know, as a big promotion anyway, but he was part of that whole boom too.
And then they had the boom that was basically just ROH feeding the big leagues, Samoa Joe,
CM
Punk,
course,
Daniel Bryan, all those guys. But now it just seems like every indie fed has a lot of great talent.
Yeah, and the good thing is if there's more of them running with great talent, there's more opportunity for these guys to go out there and make money.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And which
so
is
what I'm
what they're
thinking
in the business
is like,
for.
That could lead to another boom. And it's funny because I know we have to call Roderick. But just like thinking back to 2005, 6, 2007, like a lot of those guys after the Attitude Era aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
You think of like the Festus. You think of Carlito. You think of Kennedy. You think of
Shelton
Benjamin.
Well, Festus was just on that pay-per-view, right?
Doesn't matter. If you're not in WWE, it doesn't count.
I don't think... Nah,
oh, here we go.
Doesn't matter.
I think it does matter.
In Japan, it matters.
No, because I think there's a fan base out there that
doesn't
want
matter.
To watch the WWE product.
I know. I'm just saying that he's not a huge star. He's a great wrestler, yes. But he's wrestling in Japan. That's good for Japan.
Also wrestled in Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah. But that I'm just saying like...
In Stadium Abuja.
You can be huge in Japan and be nothing in America. It's two different monsters.
Stan Hansen made a fucking great living doing it.
Right,
so did
exactly.
Brody.
Yeah.
Until he got stuck in the shower.
So few guys can cross over, though, like that.
Funk's got a great record career.
I think
too.
Now is the time for these guys.
But I'm saying, like, there hasn't
so
been a boom in so long. Like, boom, the guys... Boom. Ugh. I hate that song. From the Attitude Era, once that died down until now... No stars were created until CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Think about it. Name one star after the Austin era that was created.
John Cena.
All right, well, John Cena.
There's been a lot of... You can't completely gloss
Batista,
over that era.
Batista, yeah.
Well, Lesnar.
Randy Orton.
There was an
Guerrero?
Era... There was an era
okay,
after
that era.
There was an era after the Attitude
Era. I was
kind of
counting
that
there
was
an
Attitude Era,
okay,
but that
yeah.
was the other era. What was that? What did they call that?
The Attitude Era?
No, Ruthless Aggression.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I meant. Like, yeah. after that crew of guys, like the Cenas, the Batistas, the Ortons,
Like from like 2005 to about 2011.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been anything.
Well, Benoit and Guerrero were names. They were just given the opportunity.
But they were
finally stars before.
I mean, they were stars, obviously, in WCW and WWE, but they didn't get their show. Brock Lesnar.
I'm just saying there's been like a 7-8 year drought of nothing until CM Punk and Bryan.
Well, this is the big
thing. Yeah, but when do you start that drought? When they come in?
No, not at all. No, you can't start the drought.
Well, you've got the Wyatt family. People seem to like them. The Shield. There's quite a few.
I'm saying, like, now they're starting to have things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Brodus Clay was a couple years ago.
Oh, God.
But if you think there's going to be another Attitude Era run, you're wrong.
Well, it's not going to be Attitude Era.
I don't know if I agree with that, Matt, because nobody thought that the 80s were going to, there was going to be a run like that again, and then we had the Attitude Era.
Yeah, but that's a whole different animal. Have you, I know over there you have your Attitude Era Blu-ray. You haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Go back and watch that stuff.
Pretty bad?
No, it's not bad. It's great. But in this
society... It's better than bad. It's good.
In this society, is that acceptable?
Oh, now? No.
No.
You know why? Because we're all desensitized to that now. None of that shit would be shocking. It would just be like overplayed, tasteless, forced. Who cares?
But if Vince goes and he does an angle or he runs an episode where there's sex and violence and incest and all that other weird shit, the hammer's gonna drop on him super fast, and they're gonna drag in stupid Linda and her goddamn campaign to be whatever the fuck she wants to be. Ugh. And her cunty daughter and her dumb son-in-law. They're gonna drag them all under. And WWE is a publicly traded stock now.
There it is.
Yeah,
so
that's when
we should
really
call Roderick, because there's so much I really want to get into here, but I want to take all care of that first.
Let's put this conversation on hold.
Yes, we're
going to
jump right back where we were, because this is a great starting point for after our interview with Roderick Strong, who's on a triple shot this weekend with Evolve.
Triple shot.
Coming soon to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. 30 years in the making. 30 years of the red and yellow, black and white. 30 years of Hulkamania. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Audioboo, Stitcher, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Rant EM Radio, and GeekLifeRadio.com. Hulkamania. 30 years in the making, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the messiah of the backbreaker. He's the second ever Ring of Honor Triple Crown champion. And he is wrestling all weekend in Florida for Evolve, the one and only Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
You like that?
A smattering
of applause for you.
Smattering?
Yeah, and even with the stutter on the intro there.
Yeah, right? It kind of just sounded like a lot of sex was going on. That's what it sounded like to me.
That's a typical night for us.
Oh.
In our dreams.
Wrestling fans.
So, how you doing tonight? Happened.
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm enjoying a hard root beer right now, you know, just... doing it kid style in an adult way, relaxing in frozen Florida.
Yeah, I hear it's kind of cold there,
it's
actually.
It's a whopping, 50 degrees down there?
No, it's in the 40s.
Oh.
We'll get down into the 30s tonight.
You get no sympathy from us in Jersey. It's 8
let's
degrees.
Let's be realistic here. People don't understand, like, you know, with that warm weather all the time, when it drops like that, and with the humidity, it's, like, brutal.
What's going to happen to your orange groves? Nothing?
I mean, people are used to taking care of them. I mean, they cover them and they spray them down with some protectant or whatever. But I don't know personally. I own zero, so.
That's not his forte, Tony.
Well, I just figured he was from Florida.
Well, not everyone from Florida knows about oranges.
Are you going to ask him if he has a Rascal scooter next?
if there's any room at Del Boca Vista? Oh, I'm bombing. Okay, I'm going to stop asking questions.
Jesus Christ. You can yell at Gabe when this is over for setting this up with us.
Gabe's going to call me personally to yell.
Probably.
No, it's all good.
So you have a very interesting story or way of how you got into the wrestling business. For those of you out there who aren't familiar, maybe Roderick would like to share that with us.
I mean, like I said before in all the interviews, which, you know, I don't really actually mind telling the story just because it's so crazy. I started wrestling because my dad was being trained by Jim the Anvil Neidhart. When it originally started, my dad had no idea who he was going to be trained by. A friend had called him and was like, "Hey, man, you want to be a pro wrestler?" And my dad's like, "Sure, why not?" You know, my dad's always been an athlete, like, you know, collegiate wrestler, soccer player, you know, football, so on and so forth. So just something to, like, stay in, you know, good shape for being an old dude. So we went and ended up being Jim Neidhart, and I was 12 at the time. So obviously I'm a huge wrestling fan. So I was just in awe of that, and I would go to practice every day, sit there, watch, you know, and eventually one day Jim's like, "Hey, you want to just jump in the ring?" He said, "I have a, Davey Boy has a kid that wrestles. So maybe if we get you guys wrestling, you know, if we let you wrestle a little bit, maybe you guys can start wrestling with each other." So, you know, Jim would let me get in there the last 30 minutes of every practice. And then eventually I had an opportunity to meet Harry Smith, and me and Harry Smith, wrestle matches like every other practice. It was pretty crazy.
That is pretty surreal. Actually, you know, growing up a wrestling fan and then getting in the ring with Davey Boy Smith's son and being trained by the Anvil, I mean, like, you just really fell into luck right there. I mean, you know, thanks to Pops bringing you to wrestling school and Jim the Anvil Neidhart's right there. Was he, like, a really hands-on trainer?
No, I mean, obviously not with me. I'm a little bit of, a visual-verbal learner combination. So it's pretty interesting, like, I don't know, I just kind of picked it up pretty quickly. I did get lucky just based on the fact of who I met, but obviously none of that helped me later on in my career when I actually started doing it as a career, but it was just a very cool, like, you know, childhood memory that is very, very unique when it comes to starting. But Jim would be, you know, rather on hand with the other people. And there was a guy, Manny Fernandez, that was like Jim's head trainer, and he was awesome.
The Raging Bull. Now, I bring this up every time somebody mentions the Anvil. We saw him at WrestleCon, and he showed us how he shaved his six-pack into his stomach hair. Did he teach you any crazy tricks like that?
No. We had no interaction like that. I was a kid to him, obviously, so he treated me like a kid.
I guess that's a good
thing.
Pretty
much ignored me, and then, you know, just like, "Hey, get in the ring," and then be like, "Oh, that's good. You did a good job." And that's pretty much it.
So were you at this point, were you just having fun, or was there anything in the back of your mind that?
No, man, I was a kid. Are you kidding me?
How old are you?
Holy shit.
How old are you again?
12.
12? All right, never mind then.
Yeah, all fun and games.
All that fun and games, though, it turned into a wrestling career. You started fairly young.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I didn't do it on a consistent basis at that age, but as I started getting a little bit older, like 14, 15, I started doing shows. I had an opportunity to wrestle some really cool people, you know, even as a youngster. So, and the older I got, and, you know, the more I started doing it, that's when I was like, "Oh, shit. You know, maybe this is something I should try to do once I'm out of high school."
Yeah, now a question I have for you is, you were so young in the business, basically you were brought up in the business, and you were probably taught the old school philosophy of respect and backstage conduct. Now when you enter a locker room and you see guys, because you're still relatively young, there's guys that are just starting that are maybe only 4 or 5 years younger than you. Do you notice any kind of different rapport backstage with the newer guys when they come in as opposed to when you were coming in?
Yeah, see, my thing is, man, I was an athlete too my whole life. So I was a football player. I mean, I chose between playing college football and being a wrestler. So in football, there's a level of respect that you learn and how you treat people within your football circle. And you have an understanding of your position and so on and so forth. And now, I mean, wrestling, you know, it kind of taught me that. But everyone was so nice to me because I was a kid, so I mean, I was just taken as a, you know, it's like, oh, it's just Bill's son. So even when I started doing shows, it was still, oh, it's Bill's son. He's a kid, blah, blah, blah. So I never really, no one ever really gave me a hard time if I didn't shake anybody's hand
right,
or do
right.
anything like that. But as I got older, you know, and from sports, I'm playing at a more intense level. You learn, you know, it's just a respect thing, just in life. If I go to a house party, I tend to greet everybody that I meet, you know, that everyone that is there. And I feel, you know, you should kind of do the same thing in wrestling.
Yeah, 100% agree. And that's what I see in the locker rooms now. But I also see a lot of the younger guys. I don't know if they're just not taught that or they just don't have the respect for the business.
Or
if they're just nervous. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, some people say nerves, but I just think it's, I mean, a majority of the guys that start nowadays have no background in athletics, so they've never been taught that.
That's true.
Unless your parents drill in your head, hey, say hi to everybody when you go to a party. Be very respectful. This is how you do it. A lot of people just don't know. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I, for the most part, don't judge somebody for the first couple of times I meet them based on the fact that they didn't shake my hand. But if it becomes something repetitive, you're kind of like, I've seen you for like 3 months.
Right.
You know, I tend to go up to them and be like, hey, man, how are you? I don't know. Getting mad about that kind of stuff is, I don't know, a little elementary for me.
True.
Now, you mentioned college football. Did you have any plans to go anyplace if wrestling didn't pan out the way it did?
No, I mean, I was gonna give wrestling an all-out try. I think it would have been kind of weird for me to try to go play college football at 22 after I had not played for so long. You know,
basically,
it was an all-or-nothing kind of situation for me, and I had already had. I had an academic scholarship to any school that I wanted to go to. So for me, it was just easiest to stay local and continue to wrestle with the guys that I'd been around because they knew me and they would help me as much as they possibly could.
You spent a lot of time wrestling around Florida. When exactly was your first big break and who would you attribute it to?
Man. Well, me and my old partner, Cedric, did Jersey All-Pro. I guess that was like my first travel break. But, like, I mean, obviously my first real big break was with Ring of Honor when I got an opportunity to do a dark match. And that was Dan Moff actually did that for me.
Oh, he's a buddy of ours.
I had met along the way, and he really took a liking to me. And he said, you know, I really think your style would fit perfect in this company.
Wow.
Let me talk with Gabe and see what we can do. And, you know, after a few months, something worked out where I had an opportunity to do that tryout.
That's awesome. Yeah, I only hear good things about Dan Moff. I mean, he works a lot around in New Jersey, and that guy's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
He is absolutely a stand-up guy. And, you know, you spent a lot of time Ring of Honor, and you had a couple stints with Total Nonstop Action as well. In fact, you were the first opponent against AJ Styles on the debut Spike TV edition.
That's right.
Now, what were the nerves? What were the nerves going into that? I mean, like that. I think that was live at the time.
Was that your first TV spot, or was Ring of Honor? Did Ring of Honor have TV then, or no?
Well, this was national.
No, I had done like the Fox Sport Network stuff for TNA prior to that.
That I had to.
And
I was
then
like,
my first ever match for them was on pay per view. So no nerves. I mean. You know, no nerves outside of the just excited nerve that you get when you go out there every single night. I mean, it felt good that I was kind of handpicked to be his opponent. Obviously, they thought highly of my abilities to make that the match the best it possibly could be for AJ and myself. So,
who made that call? Was that Jeff at the time, or who was that?
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know? Okay. Yeah.
No.
You just show up happy to be there. That's huge.
Yeah, just don't ask questions.
Yeah, you just go. What was the atmosphere like that night? You know, their debut on Spike TV. Was it insanely hectic backstage? Exciting, nervous? Like, what was it like to be there?
Man, it was everything. I mean, honestly, I cannot remember.
Yeah, a lot of people. Say
I really don't remember. I just assume it would be hectic and crazy and exciting and, you know, nervous, and there's just a lot on the plate. You know, for TNA at that time, so. They had to start off right, and I think they did. I mean, I think they did a really good job, you know, for the first episode. Every once in a while, I'll go back and check the whole thing out just because it was cool to be part of history like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you find yourself in TNA, and then you end up in Ring of Honor. And looking back and seeing the guys you worked with and you grew with, is it frustrating for you to see where they've gone and that you haven't been picked up, so to say? I know we've had Nigel on the podcast in the past, and that seems to be a real big bugaboo for him. It hangs over his head. He's really frustrated. We had him at WrestleCon, and just knowing that, like, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were going to be at WrestleMania, it really put him in a place where he wasn't happy. Do you stand in that same position, or do you just go with the flow
Well, people tend to forget first things first. I was with the Ring of Honor. So I was with the Ring of Honor first before I went to TNA.
Right.
TNA, you know, Ring of Honor helped me create buzz for myself for TNA to hire me. So I have had that opportunity. The thing that, I mean, obviously nowadays you think about the people that are going. And for me, I just think it's all about timing. I mean, for certain people, the timing was just right for them. For me, obviously, at that point, it was not right. I had more to accomplish on the independent level and to help Ring of Honor be the best company it could be. I don't know. I have a very weird loyalty thing, man, about me, and it didn't feel right at the time to stay with TNA or go back, and it just felt right to stay with the Ring of Honor. But, you know, I'm happy for all my friends that are doing good. Why wouldn't they be doing good? They're amazing. They were amazing when we wrestled. They're even more amazing now. So I just hope one day to be able to do it all over again with them.
Well, I don't see that being something so far out of the realm of possibilities. Staying with Ring of Honor and your loyalty has seemed to benefit you. I mean, the second ever Triple Crown winner, excuse me.
You can't get that out.
He makes me nervous. He's such a handsome young man.
Oh, here we go.
I don't want to bring the gay to the show, but I'm just saying. But, I mean, you're in Ring of Honor. You've been there for a couple of years. What's it like when they come to you and they tell you they're going to make you the face of the company?
Oh, man. Well, just a matter of it's okay. It's about time. I mean, you always think you're ready. But, you know, just having that opportunity is awesome. And to me, the biggest thing I find funny about the whole thing, which people tend to write, is the fact that I only won the world title because Tyler Black was leaving. And Adam Pearce has stated many a time that was never the case. That was always going to be my belt, which to me, that means the world, you know? That people trust me enough, because I literally lay it out there every night and just try to give everybody the best me I can give them and hope they're entertained by it. So when you have that opportunity, you get that added pressure. When you get that added pressure, it either makes you or breaks you. And I really think that helped me grow as a wrestler.
And jumping back a little bit with TNA and with Ring of Honor, can you describe the working relationship, if there was one, that TNA and Ring of Honor had with each other at the time? Because it seemed at one point it was pleasant, and then I can't tell you the order, but one company put the kibosh on working for the other company or something like that. Do you know anything to that or what was involved with that?
I know nothing. I just know after that Rob Feinstein incident, TNA wanted pretty much nothing to do with Ring of Honor in that sense because of the bad publicity it was getting at the time.
Right.
Doesn't get any worse than that.
True.
Right?
True.
But it's a shame that it also affected the careers of, you know, so many guys that were, you know, you're making money. It's business. You're going back and forth, you know. So on that front, it was definitely a shame that happened. My question to you about Ring of Honor is you've basically seen, like, every transition, like, the landscape of Ring of Honor, like, yeah. From what people consider, like, the golden years of it, to now where you see a resurgence, even in like the middle period where it was adjusting when everyone was leaving. Is there a certain time in Ring of Honor where you think it was just the best, or is that like now to you? Like, when do you think Ring of Honor was at its peak? Is it now, or was it like 5-6 years ago?
Man, I still don't think Ring of Honor has reached its peak. That's the crazy thing to me. I think, obviously, the energy and the crowds and the emphasis on certain people and certain things were hot at that time. I mean, I was a part of Generation Next, which was the hottest thing on independent for quite some time. So I was, to me, obviously, that was a great time in my life. So I don't know. I just really think Ring of Honor hasn't even reached its peak yet. I think there's been some fucking awesome times, and there's been some transitional times, which it happens with every company. And I just think, you know, for the most part, people just like the bitch, so it makes it kind of easy.
True, true. That's very true. Now, being at Ring of Honor now, like, you know, a company guy, you're very loyal. Is there anything that, if you were management, that you would change, that you think that maybe they could do differently that would benefit them? Like, any ideas that you might have?
Man, to me, I just go with the flow. Obviously, I'm opinionated about certain things, but I understand my position. I'm there. I'm there to perform. You know, I get my ideas here and there, but honestly, no. It's just a matter of, like every company talks about, is promoting the product and getting out there and networking in the local areas that we're coming to. And that's something, I mean, I love Ring of Honor. They've always struggled with. Mm-hmm. They have always struggled with actually getting the word out.
Yeah.
Beyond their limited sources. So, I mean, that's something every wrestler bitches about that comes to Ring of Honor, because we love the product and we want people to see it. But we feel if people don't know about it, obviously they're not going to come see it.
Yeah, and that's the shame, especially the TV market. It doesn't reach us. We can catch things, you know, if we're a part of the club or on YouTube. But I just wish that Ring of Honor had more of a nationwide coverage television-wise. Because I do believe, from what I am able to see and what I have seen live, that a lot of their stuff is so much better than what's being put on television today. So it must be frustrating to you guys in the back to know that and not have it out there. Like, that would kill me.
Yeah. I mean, like you were saying, Ring of Honor is so much better. I'm not one to actually say that. I just, we're different. To me, there's part of WWE television that I think is fantastic. I think there's a little bit from everywhere that everybody can enjoy that is a little bit different. And that's why all the companies should be successful. But I just, you know, it is frustrating that people don't get to see, you know, how much different we are in certain aspects.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you find things on WWE television fantastic. Can you weigh in on what they're doing with Daniel Bryan? Do you think it's a smart move with taking somebody who made themselves over with the fans and then sticking him with the Wyatt clan? I don't know if you're up on the current product, but I'm going to assume you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. I mean, Bryan's the type of guy that needs to be challenged. I mean, he's really smart. He's an amazing wrestler, and I think this gives him an opportunity to branch a character out and put it in a different light. And then when he becomes a babyface again, or whatever the hell you want to say that he was, that he is now, he's going to be 10 times more over now. Because people are emotionally invested in him, and they want to see him be their Daniel Bryan, not this guy. So the minute I feel he becomes their Daniel Bryan again, he's more over than ever. But that's just the way I look at it. I think people look way too much into it. And they're like, he should be this, he should be that. I think, you know, I think give this an opportunity to just see when the day comes, which I think is going to end up being way sooner than later, where he's back to being the people's Daniel Bryan. He's going to be way more over.
Right, right. I agree. And, you know, like you said, also, the cream always rises to the top. If you're talented, passionate, and you work hard, you will make it. And that, the statement echoes to you. I mean, you are all over the place now. You have a triple shot coming up with Evolve. How did you get hooked up with Evolve?
I mean, me and Gabe and Sal obviously have a lot of history from Ring of Honor stuff, and I've always, you know, maintained a relationship with them, and an opportunity came where I could, you know, work these shows. And obviously I was going to, and because I like those guys, and I think bringing my brand to them would help elevate them a little bit, and they would put me against guys that I don't get an opportunity to wrestle very often, so it would be a chance for me to up my game.
And you and you talk about guys you don't get a chance to wrestle against. Just looking at the weekend in general, you have Yuha Nation Friday night. You defend your tag titles with Rich Swann against the Young Bucks Saturday. And then you face their Dragon Gate USA champion in a non-title match, Johnny Gargano. Going into this weekend, are you excited to work with these guys? It's not the normal Ring of Honor crew. I know there's a little bit of PWG mixed in there. Do you have something you're looking forward to more than something else?
I look forward to wrestling. That's it. I mean, obviously the fresh matchups, in a sense, the guys that haven't wrestled or haven't wrestled very often, you know, just gives me an opportunity to, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say step up my game, but just, you know, maybe make those guys step up their game and bring them to another level.
Attaboy.
You know, that they've never been in. So it just pushes me to be a better performer. And I'm always excited to wrestle different people. I'm excited to wrestle the same people. I just love to wrestle.
You can't get any better than that.
There it is.
You know, passionate, talented. That's just awesome. You got a lot going on. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
You can go to my prowrestlingtees.com shirt nice. Site, purchase, support your boy. Follow me on Twitter at Roderick Strong. Like my Facebook fan page. Go to ROHWrestling.com. WWNLive.com and order the pay-per-views this weekend. I know they're switching everything over to HD, and that is huge.
Yeah, that's a big
huge,
deal.
Huge, huge for production. So I'm really excited for everything going on with myself and with the companies that I'm working with.
And I know if you order pre-order the pay-per-view, iPay-per-view, WWN Live knocks off $5. So, I mean, definitely get out there. It's shitty weather up here in New Jersey.
It's not hot and 40 degrees like Florida.
No, we're down in the single digits, and I don't think you want to go out in this bullshit. So stay home.
Yeah, watch.
Exactly.
You got nothing else to do.
And they run later. You have the guys come over, you pop a couple beers, order a pizza.
What?
Right, drink some whiskey.
There it is.
Right.
You drink too much whiskey. You do too much whiskey, you get the whiskey dick, and you don't need that. And notice Matt's worried about whiskey.
Well, you're hanging around with a bunch of dudes.
I was just going to go there.
Thank you. They got to leave at some point, right?
Do they?
Maybe one of them's got a sister that's a pig.
You took a shot at wrestling fans that all wrestling fans would just go home and then jerk off.
What if
they're in a predicament against themselves? I'm sure they won't be that embarrassed.
ShiningWizards.com.
What if there's a cracker involved?
Oh, all stop. Right. All right.
That's it. That's Hold it.
On. I got a Roderick, we have a Facebook question for you. One of our fans, he loves that you use the Misery Signals as your entrance theme. He wants to know how that came about.
I just heard the song one day. And if you listen to the words, that's my intention every time I go out there, the victim, the target. My job is to go destroy whoever's in front of me. That's just the way, I work. You know, that's it. It just fit me. Anytime that music comes on, my brain just goes into, I like blackout, it's crazy.
That's cool. That's cool. I think
That's the whiskey, actually, Roderick.
No, seriously, though, on a serious note, Roderick, I think entrance music has so much to do with the character. And so many times I've seen, I don't know if they've picked it or other people have picked it, so many times I see entrance music that just does not fit and you just can't get into the character. And then there's characters that the music is just so good, you get into them because of the song. So, I mean, like the mix of that song, you know, having a lot to do with your character, that's just golden. That's pro wrestling.
Well, thank you. I've had it forever.
That's awesome.
I'm never letting it go.
Unless you're signed by WWE and have to, like, get one of their classic, I'm a wrestler, walk into the ring type generic songs. But that's
I'll
a different
the
story.
Ring better than any wrestler has walked to the ring to that song.
That's right. Roderick, thank you so much for coming on our show tonight, man, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Oh, no problem. Make sure everyone you go out and order these pay-per-views, man. They're going to be awesome. So much talent. It's going to be so fun. Everyone's excited to perform for you people.
Yeah, definitely support these guys. You don't get a chance to see these guys all the time. They're not on TV all the time. They're ultra talented. Please check them out and support them. Roderick, thank you once again. Thank you,
buddy. All right, man. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, buddy.
All right.
All right.
We are the nation of domination. Hey everybody, this is Farouk, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast. Damn!
I am not a nugget, damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
Damn!
That was a great interview we had there with Mr. Roderick Strong.
We're gonna do this all night, y'all wanna do voices?
I
think Overweight Larry should do a fucking album just singing everybody's entrance musics.
We are the nation.
Before Overweight Larry jumps all over this shit, let's get this out of the way. Make sure you guys follow Roderick Strong on Twitter at Roderick Strong, facebook.com/official Roderick Strong, and WWNLive.com.
Rod Strong.
Evolve Triple Shot all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Roderick's taking on Yuha Nation Friday night.
Ooh-ah.
For the number Ooh-ah. One. Or no, excuse me. Whoever wins that match gets a choice of a title shot between Evolve and Dragon Gate. He defends the FIP tag titles with Rich Swann against the Young Bucks Saturday night. And he has a non-title match against Gargano Sunday night. WWNLive.com. $5 off now if you order. Me being the DVD whore, I order. It's like $20. You get video on demand, the live stream, and a DVD.
Can't beat that.
If you had a choice, which championship would you go for?
I would go after Gargano. He's been the champ for like almost 2 years now.
Speaking of which, our good buddy Jamin lost the Ohio Valley Wrestling Championship recently.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I forget who he lost it to, but he
I want our shirt back.
He said he'll be back.
Fuck him. Loser. Why did you lose?
You know, considering they dumped, TNA dumped OVW as their training facility, I'm wondering if this means he's finally getting brought up for his story with Angle. That just kind of fell by the wayside, right?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff does.
They run Genesis next week and then...
2 weeks.
So maybe Jamin finally gets his shot.
Week. 2 weeks. Next week is Brutus Magnus versus AJ Styles.
No, that's this week.
Oh, wait, his name is Tuesday? Brutus?
Yeah.
Magnus. Why wouldn't he just go by Brutus?
Because then he'd be associated with the barber.
Well, yes. And
He debuted
as a gladiator.
Brutus...
Remember when Magnus came in as a gladiator?
I thought he came in with Doug Williams.
Do you think he wears Magnums or something?
He debuted as like a
He's
really...
got a big fucking pecker.
Oh my god. He was really green when he came in, like rookie.
That was for Tony San Miguel.
How long ago? Because I thought he first came in with Doug Williams and Rob Terry.
No.
The British Invasion.
Like, he came in like 3 or 4 years before that as a gladiator. Matt, you could YouTube that.
Real quick.
Brutus Magnus Gladiator TNA. Her.
A funny note in our history, it's been officially 100 episodes since we've had Johnny Mongoy on the show. 100 episodes today.
100 episodes.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Sir Brutus
Think
Magnus.
Think about that.
Ago. Kevin, you were just a wee tyke 100 episodes ago. A wee tyke you were. All right, back to the discussion at hand.
Yes.
We could talk about this for hours.
Okay, so what was the point that we left on?
Well, here's my point, okay? You guys brought up Cena, Batista, Orton,
the post
as like the breakout.
We'll call it the aftertude era.
I'm not going to call it that at all. I'm just going to call that...
Kevin, that's very clever.
That is
Thank
very
you. I said it before, but no one picked up on it.
Yes, Thanks. We were all ignoring you at the time.
I was drinking.
I would just call it coasting, and I'll tell you why. Okay, Cena's the face of the company. Batista, Orton... Nothing.
I'll tell you what though.
Rating.
It
died down, but it leveled out at like 3, and it's been there until like the last couple years, where it's now always like 2.8. Those guys are not a boom.
I don't know if it. No one said it was a boom. We just called it a different part of the company's history.
Right. And what I was saying is, when you like a Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, I think they're more of a boom than those guys were.
Boom.
I mean, it's hard to argue because you can just look at the crowd reactions to both those guys. People and granted, the rate when and you could always tell it correlated when John Cena or Randy Orton were on in the closing segments. Audience tended to drop. And I don't quote me on this, but I don't know if it was the opposite when Daniel Bryan and CM Punk were on.
Yeah.
But you can just tell by the live audience that they were 100% more into Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And I mean, even guys like Dolph Ziggler.
Right, right.
And
the funny thing is, you look back now, 2005, 2006, Cena was, they turned on him already at that point. Randy Orton, when he won the world title, his first world title.
Oh, that was the, well, that was terrible. That
and,
was terribly.
But ever since then, okay, like the Apex Predator, whatever he's been.
That's the equivalent to Daniel Bryan right now. Daniel Bryan is what Randy Orton was then.
But they blew it.
You know what?
And Randy Orton became boring as shit.
They blew it with Randy Orton just like they're blowing it with Daniel Bryan.
Exactly. And they're cutting him off at the knees.
You were saying Cena was tiresome already by 2005?
Yeah.
Which one-night stand did Rob Van Dam cash in? Was it
the second one?
It was 2006.
Yeah.
That led to Van Dam being super over, and then, of course, he fucked all that up. But that also led to Edge being boosted.
Right.
And Edge went fucking huge mega popular at that
and then
point.
He won his first WWE championship soon after that.
And they had a good run for a while. Even though Cena was like booed all the time, at least we got Lita and Edge out of it, so there was somebody to take that away from Cena anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a pure hatred of Cena. It was like, this guy's fucking Cena at every turn. We like him.
The only thing that kept Edge down was he was just constantly hurt.
Yeah.
It was like Rey Mysterio is now. He'd be on top.
Or Ziggler
and then gone for 6 or 7 months, then back. And every time he came back, he was in like worse shape.
But it's funny, you know, Mysterio, what I read today, I forget where I read it. I'm assuming it's PW Insider because that's where I read shit. He has over 9 million Twitter followers, Rey Mysterio. So that is probably why.
He's
this
got
is what
nothing-
I read. And this is why
masks.
They keep investing in him.
The masks.
He's got
kids,
nothing but time. He's been hurt.
I know.
But anyway, I digress.
Back to what I'm saying. I mean, like, is there anyone out
hey,
there?
You, Kevin.
Is there anyone out there right now that could bring back a boom period? Because Cena and Batista and Orton.
I'm about to say, apparently Batista.
No, they've maintained.
I don't know if it's a person. I think it's just
it's a direction.
Everything has to be right.
Yeah.
Like, all the sign, the stars, they have to align.
Like
it's like just
the
not 80s. Wrestling.
Rock and wrestling.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
everything together.
Yeah, but for a while you had Brock Lesnar, you had Batista, Randy Orton, Cena. Like you had a bunch of guys that were in that spot.
But they weren't popping ratings.
No, they all just left at the same time. They were on the cusp of something even bigger than what it was, and everybody just bailed.
That's true, too.
And now it's just like, well, we need some more buys for WrestleMania. Let's throw Batista in.
Yeah,
let's give Lesnar a story again. The Undertaker's already said he's coming back. It's like they always rely on shit that's out of the ordinary, away from what they've been doing all year.
Because,
and then they stick Cena in the main event to try to give him a pop like they did with Zack Ryder and that whole story.
Well, they always do that. They give up on guys too quickly. Or if it goes against what the company wants. Like Daniel Bryan... Once again, everyone's saying, oh, don't worry, there's going to be a huge payoff. Assholes that have been watching WWE for the past 4 or 5 years know that every time they're on to something, they fucking blow it.
Yeah, they do.
Every time.
Okay, but has Triple H been in charge the last 4 or 5 years?
I think so.
I'll tell you, here's what I think. The devil made me do it, Undertaker.
The devil made me do it, Mabel.
I'll take Mabel.
What?
That's WWE. It'll just be someone that is like whatever.
It was me, Austin.
Exactly.
It was me or all along.
It's just a saying. The devil made
right.
me do it.
I had the Undertaker kidnap my daughter.
Unless they hot-shotted Bryan joining the Wyatts because Taker leads the Wyatts. Bryan turns on the Wyatts, wrestles Taker at WrestleMania.
No.
That's
why
too,
no?
That's,
you're putting your young up and comer in.
It's too much of a long term plan for the Undertaker.
No, it's not.
Taker
doesn't have to get in the ring till Mania. Mm-hmm. So you have whatever kind of fallout there is from the Rumble. Say Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt are not the last two, but they're the only two in the ring. And Bray's like, get out. And Daniel Bryan goes, he steps over the top, then he runs back in, he throws...
Does he have a ladder?
No. He can hop over the top rope.
Doing.
But then he jumps back in, he throws out Bray. Next night on Raw, the Undertaker's there, or, you know, they lead up to the Undertaker.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen?
It's going to be Virgil? I don't know.
No, Batista eliminates John Cena.
Speaking of Virgil, as an aside, Virgil is available free of charge today for all you people playing WWE 2K14. Yeah. It's the only time you're going to get anything free from Virgil. So jump on that shit today.
Yeah, well, we bring up Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts. What did you guys think about old school Raw?
From what I saw, it was okay. I enjoyed fucking badass Barrett berating all the fucking the old school guys on that big podium.
That's like so hit or miss, though.
He's going to fall off that fucking thing.
That would make the angle interesting or the gimmick interesting.
Dude, Ted DiBiase's out there with the $1 million belt yelling back at him. I'm like, that's so awesome. Biggest news of the night.
Gonna fail.
Biggest news, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes.
Makes his WWE return.
And put a smile on someone's face.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, still a mark at heart.
Yeah,
you
a lot of people.
Think he'll catch any heat for that?
No, I doubt it.
Absolutely.
Probably not, right?
You can't catch heat for that when you've been concussing everyone that you've been in the ring with. Hi, Ryback.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's another thing.
Did you hear his Lillian Garcia joke?
Oh, the horse face?
He's like, I'm sorry, my voice is a little hoarse tonight. I've been hanging out with Lillian Garcia.
Oh, they've been doing that for years. Foley's being
so
star.
It's so fucked up.
She's hot, dude.
Be a star, you faggots.
Lillian Garcia.
Maybe Charlie Haas will run in.
You fuckers, I wasn't ready.
Nay! Piper and the Shield on the pit.
Good
awesome.
Enough. Good enough.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about the Orton-Ric Flair exchange?
Again, good.
However, the basis for the rematch their feud is just kind of like an insta-feud. Like, there's nothing there. There's nothing. There's no reason.
And I'm just nitpicking. Why did they go against so much with this unification? First, they were like, well, we don't know if this match is going to unify the belts. And then they were like, well, this is going to be the last time you see both belts together. They're unified. He's still carrying around two belts.
I don't think they know what they're doing.
They really don't.
I think they're in the same boat.
And I think Stephanie's starting to panic because she just sold another $1 million worth of shares of stock today. I don't know what the fuck she's doing. Maybe
they
she
have
needs more
her
gym
on
equipment.
The Elimination Chamber poster.
Stephanie McMahon?
Yeah, like
was it her on the toilet?
Like above the chamber.
Sitting on the toilet. She's sitting on the toilet.
Like she's gonna pick up the chamber.
Sitting on the toilet.
Sitting on the toilet.
She needs to go away.
Yeah, her and her fucking
China
cavernous
voice.
Breasts.
Triple H is her cavernous breasts, right?
Yes.
I don't have a problem with her.
Triple H is one of those guys.
Thank you, Matthew.
Triple H is one of those guys that thinks he's funny.
He's not.
Isn't, but he's surrounded by so many people that are afraid of him that they'll laugh anyway.
He's funnier than Shawn Michaels, I'll tell you that much. Shawn Michaels is the worst.
Triple H's problem, and I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Not funny.
He just needs to bury everyone. He's not clever. He's not witty. He's just fucking awful and hurtful.
He has a fucking tiny dick.
It's like, you know, Triple H, I know you're strong. I know you're tough, but I think I can take you. Yeah, you're a fuckhead.
And I beat you anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, they do the same thing with John Cena.
Yeah, super. You posted...
I posted gold.
Yes. Edge and Chris Jericho talking about how Cena is fucking Super Cena in personality as well as character.
Yeah. I'm going to take a DDT on the floor by Nexus, kick out at 2, and then beat them both by myself.
And this is Jericho and Edge talking
both
about
telling
it.
Him that's a bad, awful idea.
And Edge was like,
stupid.
Well, I didn't care. I was already out of the match at that point anyway.
Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show that a lot of what you see of John Cena, that's John Cena.
Wade Barrett should have won that championship. Should have won that championship. That was a huge mistake.
I agree. I just got a message from fucking Janella.
Oh, God.
Dude, after the show... I went and did a stand-up gig and then went to my local bar
And now I have a full beer in hand. I don't want to read this. It's discriminating.
Discriminating against who?
Him.
Against himself?
Yes. So he didn't plead the fifth, so I guess I can.
Yeah.
Dude, after the show, I went and did a stand-up gig and then went to my local bar. Now I'm on my fucking floor with a full beer in hand. Success. Fucking Janella.
Was this a private message or is this on Facebook?
Yeah, it's a Facebook message.
A message?
Yeah.
To you directly.
I'll tell you what.
Oh.
In my bag, to my left, I have an autographed Saba Simba Joey Janela autograph.
Yeah. Joey Janela was selling Saba Simba 8x10s and signing them.
That's awesome.
Best $2 I ever spent. He fucked up signing his own autograph.
He's a psychotic genius.
That he is.
He is a psychotic genius.
Yeah, I had to let that out because Joey Janela is the man.
I got to ask him about that black hooker he got for Christmas.
Back on track to what we were talking about.
So overall, Raw, Punk Reigns, what do you guys think?
I thought the match was okay.
All right.
I think it was a great match.
I think he had a better match with Reno Riggins.
His match with Rollins last week was better.
You okay, Eddie?
He was not happy with that match with Rollins last week.
It was sloppy McDiddle shot.
Punk's just playing the Twitter people.
No. He botched two spots almost back to back, and it looked really sloppy. And he wasn't happy. He's like one of those perfectionists.
Botchamania.
I think that's what makes his work so great, is that he's a perfectionist.
Like Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Was the same way.
I think Randy was just afraid to be a little off the cuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, off the cuff. Yeah.
No, some guys, that's just how they work. They're the type
like
the
Diamond
type
Dallas
C
Page,
that,
same
that they
way.
Have to have everything planned out. Which is why Savage and DDP worked so well
that's
together.
That's why all their matches were great.
Yeah.
Even at that stage in their career. Back to Roman Reigns. Do you think he's the next guy?
No.
Because they're really grooming him.
I think so.
To be the guy.
Just watching last night, his facial mannerisms.
Or mannerisms.
Mannerisms. Like,
I'd like to go to the manure.
Like when he hit...
I have a pile of manure in my yard.
When he hit a big move on Punk, he wasn't smiling, he wasn't frowning. It was intense. You could look at the screen and you could see that he's plotting his next move.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something you don't get out of a lot of guys.
He's not plotting. He's concentrating so he doesn't forget. One tackle, drop down, get it again. One
whatever he needs
fuck.
To do. He's not playing to the crowd. He's not smiling. He's not trying to get the spotlight. Even when the camera's zoomed out, he doesn't change his demeanor.
Yeah, but they already have somebody on the roster like that. His name is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but Brock is a short-term solution.
You don't ever want to give Brock the microphone.
Oh, no, that was a mistake.
He will stutter and stammer.
I
got to
tell you,
voice.
The best part that came out of all that, Paul Heyman on the microphone again.
Yeah.
Dude, he put over Bruno, Hogan, Austin, and then adds Brock to that list. That was genius.
It's believable.
Genius. I'm watching the fucking Greatest Rivalries DVD, and he's talking about... who the fuck was he talking about? Oh, it was Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, I think it was. Beautiful. Knows how to speak. Knows how to play up the characters. Knows exactly the story that they were telling. Perfect.
Yeah, he's great.
Genius.
I hate to interrupt. I have some breaking news.
Dragon Gate USA and Evolve is playing this weekend?
No, from the world of PWS. Kevin Matthews will be embarking on a wrestling tour of India.
Wow.
That is the greatest news I have ever heard from Kevin Matthews.
Is he wrestling the Great Powder Judo Dome?
They're going to wrestle at the Gandhi Dot Dome.
Ring Ka King. Wait, keep talking about this. I have to cue this up.
Wait, that's Native American.
So that's a big congratulations to friend of the show, Kevin Matthews.
Good for you, Kevin. For what organization?
He didn't say. He just said country. India.
Cunt.
My God.
So don't drink the water and congratulations, Kevin Matthews.
Atta boy.
Yes, I would just like to say we want the Kevin Matthews mega superstar over here in India.
Maybe you get your own Slurpee cup.
How many people does he offend?
They're going to call him Super Matthews?
They're going to cancel before he goes.
Super, yeah. No, that's awesome. Good for him, man.
Awesome.
Good for him.
Actually, while we're on the breaking PWS news
situation. It looks like they're in the works for a Scott Epstein memorial event.
Oh.
Scheduled for April 13th. And, you know, we knew Scott from vending PWS yes. shows. A great guy, always there to give some advice and stuff like that. Some guys know him better than I do, obviously. I talked to him once. But, yeah, April 13th, it looks like PWS is looking to do a Scott Epstein memorial event is how Tap Out put it. So I don't know exactly okay. what it is. But yeah, kudos to PWS for that as well.
Good for them.
Yep.
Good stuff.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of tragic how he died too, right?
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. Fucking car accident.
Yeah, it's yes. like, yeah. That's one of the ones that you're just like, oh, didn't have to happen.
Yeah. It's, yeah, you know, like.
Fucking took everybody by surprise. Yeah, crazy.
Sure did.
It's always hard, especially around the holidays.
Oh, for sure.
Oof, we just brought this whole podcast.
Yeah, well, you know.
I know what we could do.
It had to get noted.
We just brought this podcast to a screeching halt.
And it wasn't my fault.
No, it was my fault. But it was.
I missed the joke. Fucking gonna have to listen.
Not being repeated.
It's not a joke.
Oh, Jesus. I just got it now.
I'm so glad I missed it.
Idiots.
You want to open Christmas presents?
Yes.
No.
Do it.
Because I feel bad because mine are still in my basement for you guys.
And mine are under my tree.
Who's that?
That's Silva.
The Jewosaurus, who looks like he needs a dick in his mouth.
I should Photoshop one.
That's awesome.
Rocking our
What were we talking about? Can we go back to
Raw? Or we can open Christmas presents.
We can order Christmas presents.
Yeah, let's go on Amazon. Let's order each other's shit.
We were talking about stars of today and who's going to be the next big thing.
Brock Lesnar's the next big thing. Next.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Reno Riggins.
And I hate that it's going to be Roman Reigns and not Dean Ambrose that's going to be
You don't
the
know,
guy.
Dude.
I think they're going to.
I mean, you're right. I don't know. But
I hate that it's not Daniel Bryan right now.
Of course, we all hate that. But the fact that Dean Ambrose
is the guy. I mean, his
right
facial expressions, his mic work.
Where's Sheamus?
Who the fuck cares?
He'll be back. He'll be in the Rumble.
Fella. I hate Sheamus.
Sheamus rules.
He'll be at the Rumble with Batista and ADR.
Did
you see that?
Could you pick a shittier guy to announce for the Rumble with fucking Batista?
What did they announce? ADR?
They announced our first two entrants are Batista and Alberto Del Rio.
Is he still? Is he's not hurt? Is he? Is he still?
No, he just beat Sin Cara.
After Sin Cara beat him like 8 times in a row.
Yeah, Sin Cara won like 8 matches in a row, and then loses to
with his new tattoo and beer gut.
Yeah,
rocking the beer gut.
That's a country song.
They're,
they're
rumoring that RVD's coming back at the Rumble.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's great.
They're
going to
give him
a
Jericho
spot from a
Jericho
fucking
treatment.
Yeah.
Book him like shit.
Are you really going to complain about RVD being in the Rumble?
No.
Opposed to that piece of shit Michael Cole, that fucking asshat Jerry Lawler?
He makes it sound like I'm saying that Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler should be in the Royal Rumble.
You just said take another spot.
Yeah.
Guess who takes spots in the Royal Rumble? Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole, and Booker T.
He makes it sound like I want Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole, and Booker T.
He's getting personal with Eddie.
If I may, for
Twisted
a minute.
Twisted T.
May I speak my mind here?
Twisted T will be in the Royal Rumble doing the Drinkerooney.
Fucking Jerry Lawler in the hospital again yesterday.
All
these fucking sympathetic retards on fucking Twitter.
Keep
eating your fucking Sonic 2 weeks after you have a heart attack,
hey, that's WWE's fault.
I'm tired of him doing commentary anyway. I have no problem with Michael Cole and JBL doing the show. I thought it was great. I think they're both good, despite what people have said about Michael Cole over the years. I'm just tired of Jerry Lawler. Look, they shit all over JR, who everybody claims was like one of the greatest fucking commentators of all time.
He was.
And they still hold on to Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler was around when Vince McMahon was still doing commentary.
Yeah.
That's how long Lawler's been around.
Jerry Lawler's been around since primetime wrestling.
They need to drag him out for old school Raws like they do with Sergeant Slaughter, who looked an awful lot like Bruno with his fucking bow tie. Shaved head, by the way. But
I just don't need him. Him fucking taking selfies, like
if anyone's
a legend in professional wrestling, Jerry Lawler falls under that category.
Yeah, gonna call bullshit on the health scare, and I'm gonna say it was a publicity stunt to get people to go on the app.
No.
I think so.
No,
I
think he just had food poisoning, and that's what it was.
I think, maybe. And they're saying the reason why he even went to the hospital is because Brian Christopher was there.
And he wasn't all jacked up on fucking crack rock?
Who, Brian Christopher?
Yeah.
Turn it up!
Thank you, Eddie.
I make fun of jokes sometimes.
I can't. He's fucking, he has a heart attack. Like a month later, he's eating Sonic. If you're Jerry Lawler, you almost died on live TV. You think you would turn around and go, no.
Wait, was he eating the Sonic on Raw?
Yes.
All right. Did he take, what, a bite of Sonic?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't like matter.
It's bacon perception. Cheeseburger.
It's the perception. It's like, I had a heart attack, and here I am eating fast food.
Yeah.
That was
fine. All right. That's a bad message to send, but do we honestly know if he was actually eating Sonic?
It doesn't matter.
It could have been a turkey burger in a Sonic bag.
He's now a spokesperson for Sonic.
That's fine. I understand the message is bad, but we don't know for a fact that that's what he was eating. I seriously doubt that he was actually eating Sonic. That's just me.
Did you read his book?
Nope.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was eating Sonic, drinking Coke, and crying while he jerked off.
Thinking about Stacy Carter.
Because he's fucking whiny bitch.
He really is. He really is. He's not a likable guy, honestly. I'd put him up there in fucking Steve Lombardi territory. Oh. He's another guy that didn't get good grades from the fans at fucking Legends of the Ring.
Look, I can't get upset. Like, Mae Young's in hospice. Don't take this the wrong way. It's about fucking time.
Well,
she's like 100, dude.
No, yeah, all right. But saying, she's age appropriate for hospice, that doesn't mean she deserves to be in hospice.
No
hospice
one deserves bad, it, but dude. She's lived much longer than a lot of people.
No,
it's only a matter of time. Just deal with it. Thoughts and prayers go out to Mae Young. She's fucking 100. Just let her fucking die.
I understand.
Oh, my God.
Dude, my grandmother was on her way to hospice when she passed away. I'm so glad she didn't make it to hospice. It's fucking miserable. You know what they do? They don't even feed you. You just fucking sit there on a morphine drip and you wait to die.
They stare at you and they look at their watch and then they stare at you and look at their watch and go, come on.
And they go, I'll be right back. It's lunch.
They take bets.
And they cross their fingers when they walk back in that you're just no longer with you.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't want her to die. But when news
sounds like he does,
could have fooled me. Yeah,
when news breaks and it's like Mae Young's in hospice and all these people are like, "Oh, thoughts and prayers to Mae Young."
Who are all these people? These are people that know her.
Who are these people that care about Mae Young?
Fucking Facebook fans.
Mae Young used to dive
fans,
into Moolah's vagina with her tongue.
Who only know Mae Young from the Attitude Era. And they're like, oh, best wishes.
Honestly,
hope you don't die.
I know about women's wrestling. I didn't know about Mae Young until the Attitude Era myself.
No, she wrestled in the 20s.
Unless you go watch the fucking...
She wrestled on Boardwalk Empire.
She was a flapper.
Oh, boy.
Why don't you come and see me sometime in the wrestling ring there, Nookie?
It's like, check those stems on that dime.
Dynamite.
So,
and she's wearing khakis.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Yes. That are like hiked up to like the bottom of her tits.
Fred Mertz pants.
Fred Mertz pants.
Hanging out in the flat iron. 23 Skidoo.
All
right. Woo.
Jeff Jarrett leaves TNA.
Yeah,
rumors
that's big
are. He's going to start up his own wrestling company.
Where's our
Toby Keith?
Toby Keith.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That's a TV deal right there.
What? Country music? Whatever?
Yeah.
What channel is that now?
You already know what that organization is going to be like.
It's going to be TNA.
It's going to be monster trucks and Toby Keith concerts and horses.
It's going to be old school TNA again. It's like it's going to be setting the business back again.
I don't
TNA.
Know about that.
Yeah, again.
All right.
I mean, Kobe Teeth. Toby Keith apparently has a lot of money because he's apparently invested money well, and he has a shitload of money on top of being rich, and he has a lot of business shit going on.
Kobe Teeth.
That's what we're going to call this episode.
Kobe Teeth.
Kobe Teeth.
Kobe Teeth.
Strong Kobe Teeth.
I just can't. It's
because Kobe fits because of the whole Japanese thing.
Jeff Jarrett,
Kobe beef, Kobe teeth,
strong Kobe teeth.
Jarrett would just be better off just fucking sucking it up and going back to Vince.
You mentioned Toby Keith.
I mentioned Kobe teeth.
Yeah, different guy.
Come on,
somebody had an idea that for the WWE Network, which is going to be announced tomorrow, by the way, another news tidbit for you.
Yay.
It wouldn't be such a bad idea to bring Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling to that network.
Is that the Midges? Oh, God, that show.
No, that's my
No, that's the one with Todd Bridges and Todd Danny Bridges Bonaducci and
should
Tiffany.
Have won that season.
You know what? It's not bad. It got good ratings.
Yeah, I liked it, actually.
It's a decent enough program. You get to see Brutus the Barber and fucking Brian Knobbs on TV again.
Yay. Yay.
I wouldn't mind that, dude.
They better air Legends House before one or two of those gentlemen pass away.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's been in the can for like 2 years now.
Who was on that?
Gene Okerlund, Pat Patterson,
Duggan.
Piper. Duggan.
Jimmy
Piper.
Hart.
Was Piper on it?
Jimmy Piper, Hart. I think, was there too.
Yeah, it's just like, come on.
What else do I have? Notes.
Air it.
We talked about Ryback getting heat, right?
Yeah.
We talked
yeah.
about...
For knocking out people and causing concussions.
And that's why his push has been down, because he's been reckless and shit.
Oh, so maybe something we should have mentioned before and after we interviewed Roderick. He was not comfortable talking about getting injured by AJ. So if you're like, oh, why didn't you retards ask him? He didn't want to talk about it.
And we respected that.
Yes.
And if you were almost paralyzed 3 days ago, maybe you don't want to fucking talk about it either.
Well, allegedly, because we didn't talk about it with him. We don't know the extent if he was hurt that badly or what, so.
Right. So
we don't want to speculate.
Past guest Ken Shamrock tweeted to Vince McMahon, let's talk.
Let's talk.
And Vince McMahon tweeted back,
Who are you? Who are you? I'm Detective John Kimball.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
I'm a cop, you idiot.
So I'm actually intrigued by this Shamrock thing. What was anything else but just let's
Shamrock,
talk? Or?
Shamrock wants another run.
He's not going to get it. Triple H hates him.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah, he talked about that, didn't he?
Yeah, I asked him about it.
Heat. We got
so
heat.
ESPN picked up on Ric Flair giving the pregame pep talk to the San Francisco 49ers.
I tweeted about that before it became a big deal, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Well, ironically enough, the Panthers want him on the sidelines Sunday.
What? That's not the complete opposite of what I read. Steve Smith from the Panthers said that he completely burnt the bridge with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
But Steve Smith is Steve Smith. The Panthers wanted him on the sidelines this Sunday. But
prior?
Yes.
Oh, okay, there you go.
But they're facing the Niners. Apparently he was a season ticket holder for the Panthers for quite a bit of time.
Until he got divorced for the sixth time.
Hmm. Woo.
Woo. Woo!
Breaking news in the WWE land. Brock Lesnar will be wrestling at the Royal Rumble.
That's Big Show?
Yes, a Big Show.
Ugh.
Yeah, we saw that already. Remember when they broke the ring?
That's a rough one.
Who
I don't understand how he stands up to Mark Henry 2 weeks in a row and he's afraid of the Big Show.
Well, he wasn't.
He was afraid, dude. He
ran.
Well, he's at first, and then he got in the ring and just got tossed around. So
that
like,
Beal, dude, he fucking landed on his head.
Why? Why would they use Brock Lesnar in a fucking feud with the Big
well,
Show?
Why would they use Mark? Why would they use Mark Henry just to set up? I would be perfectly happy with the Brock Lesnar Mark Henry match.
I would have been too.
They have Ryback there.
That match would have been terrible.
Exactly.
I think that
a lot more
sailed.
Entertaining than this bullshit we're going to see with.
I would have
Big
a Brock Lesnar Mark Henry match. I think would be great. Not that I don't think
you know
Big
what
Show...
though. Nothing against Brock Lesnar Big Show. At least it's big guy against big guy.
What Mark Henry is a fucking cruiserweight.
No, Mark Henry. Mark Henry. Too,
what you talking
I mean,
about, Kevin?
Mark Henry throws hurricanranas.
There's very few and far between guys you can throw Brock Lesnar's direction. Do you want to see a fucking Great Khali Brock Lesnar match?
No, I want to see Mark Henry Brock Lesnar.
Really?
I'd rather see Ryback Brock Lesnar.
Ranjit Singh made a return
not at this
in old
point.
School Raw.
Not at this
well,
point.
Well, they buried him so bad.
Maybe like 6 months ago, I would have loved to see that.
Yeah,
or
they
seven
buried
months ago.
The shit out of fucking Ryback.
I mean, Big Show and Brock Lesnar will probably have a good match.
You think Biggie Langston would have a good match with Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
He's starting to come around.
He is.
Biggie.
He just got to change that outfit.
I hate his gear.
He just
gear
looks
that
the
grinds
worst.
My gears. His gear grinds my gears.
Oh, his gear is awful.
He looks like the lead singer from Cameo on steroids.
He looks like his face shrunk, but his head stayed the same size.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, he has Beetlejuice face, but a regular size head.
Hey,
it's like
hey,
everything's
hey,
just
hey,
like smushed.
Hey.
It's like, I don't know. He's a weird-looking guy. I never put him on commentary.
Is there anything else on your sheet there, Mr. Matthew?
I got nothing but plugs.
I got nothing but plugs for you, baby. Christmas presents.
Ooh, okay. Right, and then we can do more Christmas presents next week.
All right, while we gear up for Christmas presents and everyone gets
51 weeks early.
Saturday night, myself, Shining Wizards Eddie, and Turnbuckle Throwbacks Dave Powers will be in Voorhees, New Jersey for CZW's Answering the Challenge. Our buddy Drew Gulak defends his title against Lucky 13.
Wait, and you're going to be there?
Yeah.
You better fucking tell him to send me my shirt.
I will. Devin Moore, PWS alumni.
Nice.
He takes on Alex Colon for the CZW TV title.
He smells fantastic.
Blackout takes on the Beaver Boys for the CZW tag titles. Beaver Boys being Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
Yes.
Chris Dickinson against Biff Busick. Excuse me.
Going to be good.
Jake and David Crist against the Juicy Product of past guests JT Dunn and David Starr. So it's a jammed up CZW.
Did you say JT Dunn and David Starr?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a jobber called JT Starr in WWF like back in the day?
Well, there's Mark
Starr. Aren't you thinking of JT
Wolf?
No, the black guy from ECW.
JT Smith?
Yes. No, not JT Smith. I think there was something. The
original
Starr.
Member.
Maybe Mark Starr.
Of the FBI.
Well, Mark Starr, yeah. He did.
Oh, he did. Oh, so, he did.
Nothing beat JT Smith singing Fly Me to the Moon.
That's when wrestling was good.
Yes.
So that's going down Saturday night. Me and Eddie and Dave will be there. Look for us. Say hello.
And Mike Awesome broke his back and then he hung himself.
We'll be awkward and we won't know what to say to you. CZWrestling.com.
I heard the Shining Wizards are going to be there.
Friday, I heard rumblings.
Ticket
sales plummet.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Evolve is running in Florida. Yes. WWNLive.com.
Win.
Get there before the weekend. You get $5 off. Roderick Strong will be competing all weekend against Yuha Nation. Tag team match with Rich Swann against the Young Bucks. And against Johnny Gargano in a non-title match. You'll also see AR Fox. Chris Hero's there all weekend. The Bravado Brothers. Tony Nese. Trent Beretta. Check it out. Support Evolve. And then in 2 weeks...
Wait. It's DGUSA.TV for all the information on the three shows. Matthew?
Good call. And then Smash Wrestling for our friends to the north.
Smash.
What's that on the boot?
That's you, Stickman, and...
Alrighty.
Hello.
And,
oh, that's England.
Well, Jack Foley.
Hello? What's
AKA
that all about?
Stickman.
Hey, my Funkophiles.
You're the same person.
No, it's
shut
not.
Up. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm right here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Smash Wrestling at Smash Wrestling. Smash.
It's funktastic.
Smash.
Snooki Smash.
Wrestling.com. Any given Sunday, too. Sunday, January 26th. AJ Styles, Chris Hero, Michael Elgin, Gargano.
Elgin.
Sorry. And then they're doing a free Royal Rumble party after the show. If you can't get to Toronto, please support them at Smash Wrestling on Twitter.
Please support
Fridays.
Toronto. Please
go
support
to Fridays.
Toronto.
It's going to be a funktastic, funkafresh.
Oh, yeah. Hang
town.
Out with Ray Apollo. A couple shout-outs. Under the Mat Radio, Blog Talk. radio.com/people-who-know-good-wrestling. Jesus Christ, could it be any fucking longer, Evan? Holy shit.
Just a sad bit of news.
Oh, no.
Our good friends, the Nerd Herders, ended their podcast run last Friday.
Wow. Turn off
the mic. Yeah, but they can still hear it on mine.
Whatever. Under the Mat Radio, past guests include Ken Shamrock, Ahmed Johnson, and more. You should pay for
gas.
Monday night, Carlo is Carl Eggett's look at today's wrestling straight from the sticks in Norfolk, UK. Available on iTunes and SoundCloud.com/Carl Eggett. Follow him on Twitter at Eggett Carl, E-G-G-E-T-T.
Eggett, he was acting gay, so I said.
R-L. And then a brand new Eggett? Brand new t-shirt company, heelturntees.com. Follow them at Heel Turn Tees on Twitter. They have an Induct Owen t-shirt, a Macho Man Randy Savage t-shirt, Ultimate Warrior t-shirt, and more. Follow them. They are brand new supporters of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, AudioBoo.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, CWERadio.com, I almost didn't stutter throughout that whole thing. .com.
Clutch and wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
And
wiggle,
now,
wiggle, wiggle, and wiggle, the wiggle. Network has a brand spanking new home, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
So much easier.
9 great shows, 1 great place. If you go to swn.shiningwizards.com, it still takes you there. But we do have a new...
I will take you there. I'll take you there. Name. Oh, sorry. We're doing a PlayStation 3 video game.
Jesus, dude.
I have to piss.
I got to drive you home. PlayStation 3 Who's giveaway. Batman Origins game.
Wait. We're giving away PlayStation 3 or the game?
The game.
Okay.
Just the game.
You don't want to be on a hook for that.
No. And we're going to give this away. Random drawing out of the hat. Patrick Lucy at Juicy Pat Lucy on Twitter. He just won a copy PlayStation 3 Batman Origins.
Yeah. When did this happen?
Just now.
Do we have more stuff to give away?
We will in the coming weeks. I have a lot of t-shirts, dude.
Yeah? I still got a Chris Payne shirt, I think. I have a Bar Jitsu shirt I can give away from our good friends at barjitsu.com.
Yep.
Great.
Should I give it away?
Now?
I don't know. I'll put it on
Twitter.
We'll
do a contest for it.
Yeah, fuck them.
So we got that going for us.
Fuck them in the ass.
Eddie's got to come back so we can do Christmas.
Nobody heard you. You're not on mic.
He said he was pissing.
Eddie's pissing. Get me up here.
Left.
No.
We killed all 12 of them? Oh, there's Bud Light Platinums in the back there.
Jesus, the show's almost over. Take it easy.
I got it. Don't worry about it.
There's still the awkward car ride home with me.
Do you have the recorder? You got to put the sound on, dude. Is this even on? Fuck. Wait a minute. Is it on?
Professional.
No, wait, is this Japanese? No, you got to do Santa Claus is Coming to Town with the wrestlers.
I couldn't find it.
It's Santa Claus is Coming to Town, New Japan.
Right, let me see if I can find it.
Santa Claus. That's awesome. It's actually warming up.
It's Eddie's birthday.
It is Eddie's birthday.
Thanks,
good
assholes.
Save, though. That was a good save.
Could have been a lot worse.
It's pretty bad.
All right. This song's fine. I'm going to open my present.
Wait, let me give Kevin some paper.
First of all, that wasn't my fault.
No. It's the fault of the ghost of Christmas past. You know what's a cool thing?
What's that?
Going on your Facebook and seeing birthday wishes from Hurricane Helms and Sunny.
Oh, we're still marks.
Sure are. And all my other friends also.
Yeah.
It's cool you guys, too.
Yeah. Okay. Phil.
All I can find is Japanese Santa Claus coming to town.
He wished me a happy birthday.
Isn't it?
Oh, here we go.
Sign girls wished me a happy
birthday. Yes, it was Pro Wrestling Noah. Okay, that's it.
Kevin wished me a happy birthday.
I did.
Got some friends here that wished me
memories.
A happy birthday.
I love the sound effects. Come on, put the video up, dude. I don't care about Patrick Lucy.
I gotta fucking send him a message.
No, you don't. Wait till after the show.
All right, I'm opening presents.
Yeah, me too. This is from Matt. Oh my god, dude, I'm so glad I didn't order this. Thank you. I got the legendary Bruno Sammartino No Holds Barred shoot interview from Wrestle Reunion. Thank you very much, dude. This is awesome.
Let's you know how much it pained me to buy that?
Short
hurt. Stop.
I'm ahead of you because I already...
Okay.
I already saw a picture of Cowboy Bob Orton in the back. I got the history and tradition, the story of the National Wrestling Alliance.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Wow,
thank you
so
much,
the unjaded history, because it's not a WWE product.
Yeah, exactly. This is
Elbow
Productions.
Myself got a round table with the original Midnight Express and the Fantastics.
That's a great
Jesus
DVD.
Christ.
Tommy Rogers, Dennis Condre, Bobby Fulton, and Bobby Eaton. I'll be watching this tomorrow. Beautiful.
I'm watching this when I get home.
Yay Christmas.
Yay Christmas indeed.
Can I open my gift from Tony?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Love the Fantastics.
This is...
Look!
I don't... What is this?
It's a little Jimmy.
Oh, this is an R-Truth.
It's R-Truth shirt.
Do you believe? #tell the truth.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Mitsuharu Misawa wearing a green Santa Claus outfit.
Wow. Okay, here we go. I have a shirt, too. Actually, let's go in the order that we've been going in. Here you go.
Hornswoggle.
Wow.
Straight up
Hornswoggle
t-shirt.
I thought that was Seamus.
I did too at first, but no, it's better.
Hornswoggle. Loop that, loop that amazing song.
I'm going. play that shit again.
Loop it.
That's a Hornswoggle t-shirt.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, wait,
do you
want to hear awful? Like, I got awful Christmas music.
No, I got it. You're good. Don't worry. Keep opening gifts.
Okay. Oh, God.
Eddie's got a John Cena t-shirt.
Oh,
he's
God.
Got to.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Ah! Fucking Brodus Clay shirt.
That's a collector's item.
That I have to wear. Because it's a gift.
You also have to eat 30 pounds of food to fit into that. Jesus Christ.
And
honey.
you have to turn a heel next week, too.
If I had a girlfriend, I'd say she could sleep in it, but I don't have one.
A boo.
You're better off.
I have another package here from Matt. It's green, like my microphone.
Hook shot. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, for real?
Oh, what's that?
Oh, son?
Matt got extra copy of the WrestleCon magazine publication brochure.
Oh, wow.
Program?
That we were in.
Good board. And the reason why this is significant, folks, is because our ad is right here next to our video.
That's awesome.
Our write-up.
Look at that.
Nice.
Thank you, dude. And I got a green shirt. Oh, it's a Don Morocco shirt.
Oh, that's real deal.
Sunset Beach, 85. That's awesome, dude. Thank you.
That's awesome.
You're
that sick.
Is cool.
You're welcome.
So awesome. Docky, doc, doc. Merry Christmas. Hockey, docky, docky. Hadahi, docky, hi, Latoya.
Dude, you killed the monitors.
Who's up next?
Kevin?
I'll go, I guess.
Oh,
wow.
Fucking a Freebird shirt, dude.
Oh, nice.
Bad Street USA Spring Break 1983, the year I was born.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Kevin's young.
Thank
you so much.
Bad Street.
Yeah, I'm a youngin'.
I'm the baby of the boys.
Okay.
Yeah,
dude, that's sick, dude.
There's something else in the box, too.
What's in the box?
Oh, the fucking program.
I better have a fucking program.
I didn't give you a program.
I love the boxes, too.
I know.
The cute little Christmas trees.
Thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're the garbage bitch.
What am I, Duke Drosy? I was on Raw yesterday.
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, there's a lot of comparisons about that.
I got a program. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh,
you got the Nintendo.
I never even saw this before.
It's oh, that's sick.
That's a
Nintendo
great shirt.
I just bought a Gorilla
shirt.
Monsoon right out the dick.
I see Macho Man. I think that's a British Bulldog. Andre the Giant, Yokozuna, Junkyard Dog, Eddie Guerrero, Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, I don't know who that is in the middle. Is that Edge?
Mr. Perfect, Rude, Boss Man, Hawk, Earthquake, Doink. But there's one guy.
Who is that in the middle? What's
see.
On his tights?
Do you not know who that is?
What's on
see.
His tights? He's got
see.
A marking there.
Who is that?
Heath Slater?
Oh, see. It's Benoit.
Oh, it is. Is it?
Oh, no. It's
no,
who the is Rogue that? Horseman.
Pillman.
Nice.
I got them all except Pillman. This is fantastic.
I thought it was Heath Slater.
Thank you, Matt.
We're a three-man band.
All right, now let's count. Wait, there's 3, 5, 10. There's 15 guys on this shirt.
Junkyard Dog.
You're gonna be morbid again and
that
see how many of them are dead.
Nasty black person,
aren't you?
They're all dead.
Is that
that's
the
fucking
that gimmick?
Joke? That's not a joke.
I don't know.
They're all dead. Everyone
see.
On my shirt is dead.
Let me see.
That's true. Who's the one in the suit? Paul Bearer, right?
Everyone
shit,
on my shirt.
You know what they look like? They look like Canadians
dead.
In South Park.
Like Nintendo gimmicks.
No, he looks like one of the Canadians. Like
yeah,
you're
right.
Dick Scott.
Hello there, Scott.
That's
why there's only one Road Warrior on there. That's why Hawk's the only one on there.
They're all dead.
You have AIDS.
And you got your programs.
Thanks, dude.
Have you had these the whole time?
Thanks, awesome. Matt.
That was awesome. Yeah, why?
No, I haven't seen one since, I think, since WrestleCon. Or since.
This is fantastic. Now, next week, we do Christmas Part 2.
And who do we have for next week?
Next week, we have Gunner, TNA superstar.
Money in the Bank.
Feast or Fired.
Feast or Fired winner. We didn't even talk about TNA, did we?
I don't think so.
We did a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
I don't think we did.
Shit, we didn't?
Spilled everything.
We don't, hey, I mean, we don't have to. Around. We can wait. We can wait till next week.
TNA is still around as of now. And they're next doing week, good we stuff. Can talk to Gunner all about TNA.
Gunner, hang in there. And the week after that, Little Egypt and AJ Styles. And the week after that, Jay Bradley. And Drake Younger.
Yes.
So the Shining Dacked. Wizards are in full effect.
Again, double shots Dacked. Both weeks.
We'd like to thank Roderick Strong at Roderick Strong on Twitter. Please follow him. Tell him the Shining Wizards sent you. He will either thank you or hate your face. Get on him on Facebook, facebook.com/official Roderick Strong. Evolve running all weekend, WWNLive.com. CZW's running Saturday. Me and Eddie and Dave will be there. CZWrestling.com. If you go to their website, I know there's a link for the iPay-per-view. Get out there, support wrestling, On Point Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Smash Wrestling, Extreme Rising. I'm running out of gas and booze.
Superstars of Wrestling, right? Is that that's one, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we have friends that are on there?
Speaking of friends, I just booked a guest for the fucking Wrestling Legends. What are we doing?
Legends of
Wrestling in June.
Really?
Yes. To be announced once, I guess, we clear it with Legends of Wrestling, right?
Next week? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So next week we can expect that, maybe?
Yeah.
Play Leon Garcia one more time.
Wait a minute. What happened to GarageBand? Oh, we must have monitors again. It's all right.
We have a closing number?
You know what? I might have one. Let me see.
Oh, boy.
So low.
You know whose music this is?
No.
It's Tickles.
Oh, God.
All right, I don't have one. Matt?
Yeah, do something. I'm working on it. This computer box is slow.
What is that?
It's just ding dong, ding da ding, ding ding dong.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Too lazy to finish my set.
Oh, wait, since it's Christmas?
Jingle bells, Bowman smells his family's dumb as shit. They're all in beds and fuck each other. They're all retarded. Merry Christmas from Joey Soup.
And good night.
Good night.
Peace.